This is the Quality News Network. Stocks slid below the 13,000 mark today amid credit jitters. We'll have the full report coming up in our business segment. 43 people from a security firm were arrested in Iraq today following a shooting in central Baghdad that wounded a woman. Only two of those arrested were Americans, and the name of the security firm has not been released, but it's not Blackwater. The number of hate crimes in the U.S. rose almost 8% in the last year. A study by the FBI indicates that 51% of the hate crimes in 2006 were motivated by race. The busiest travel week is off to a rocky start. The weather has been causing delays at several of the nation's major airports. Fog snagged inbound and outbound flights in Atlanta, and according to the FAA, New York's LaGuardia and O'Hare in Chicago are both experiencing more than an hour in delays. President Bush is looking for a new Homeland Security advisor. Fran Townsend handed in her resignation this morning. After 4.5 years of combating terrorism, Townsend expressed regret at leaving her post when figures like bin Laden and al-Zawahiri remain at large. Rescue workers in Bangladesh fear the death toll could reach 10,000. Thursday's deadly cyclone claimed more than 3,000 lives, and the death toll is still climbing. Helicopters airlifted food to hungry survivors, while rescuers struggled to reach remote areas. Army Major General Mark Hertling, commander of forces north of Baghdad, said today that al-Qaeda fighters are leaving Baghdad and Anbar for Iraq's volatile north. Hertling said while violence is declining in Iraq, the number of attacks in his region are higher. Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf rejected U.S. demands to end martial law before the all-important national elections in January. The new Supreme Court dismissed 5 of 6 challenges to Musharraf's re-election as president while serving as head of the military. In anticipation of a U.S.-led Palestinian-Israeli peace conference, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert pledged not to build new Jewish settlements in the West Bank. He also agreed to release 441 Palestinian prisoners, but Olmert stopped short of halting construction in existing settlements. The annual FBI crime statistics are in, and Detroit was named the nation's most dangerous city. You're listening to Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
For an insider's look at quality news coverage, be sure to read two of the latest books by award-winning journalist and author Tony Seaton. The Quality Interview and Don't Mess with the Press transport the reader into the world of journalism, including the ups and downs of network news coverage and what it's really like reporting the important events we see happening every day around the world. Don't Mess with the Press is an intriguing and engaging chronicle of Tony's early career, beginning with his start as a copy boy for ABC News back in the 1970s to working his way up to become producer of network news interviews for Barbara Walters. The Quality Interview is the definitive guide to the art of the interview. Learn interviewing basics and much more, including how to get crucial information out of even the toughest interview. For more on Don't Mess with the Press and The Quality Interview by Tony Seaton, visit our website at www.qualitynewsnetwork.com.
The environmental group Greenpeace is on the hunt for a Japanese whaling fleet. The Japanese whalers plan to kill up to 50 humpback whales. Greenpeace will sail toward the waters off Antarctica in hopes of shadowing the ships to try and reduce their catch. A report in the journal Science suggests that major depression can shrink the brain. Results of more than 20 studies show the average difference in size is about 10%. A mutated version of a common cold virus has caused 10 deaths in the last 18 months. According to the Centers for Disease Control, the virus caused at least 140 illnesses in New York, Oregon, Washington, and Texas. In Maryland, the parents of more than 2,000 students were called to court over the weekend to prove their children had received required immunizations. It was one of the toughest responses of any school district in the nation to a growing health problem. Stocks fell today with a gloomy news from the banking sector and the National Association of Home Builders. Goldman Sachs downgraded Citigroup after the bank said they would write down $15 billion due to risky debt. And light sweet crude oil is trading up 80 cents at $94.64 a barrel. And on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones ended down 218 points at 12,958. The Nasdaq was down 43 points, and the S&P 500 was down 27 points. More on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Okay, don't you? Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It's a foreshortened week here on the Head On Radio Network. It is Thanksgiving week here in the wilds of wonderful West Virginia. It sounds like a war right now, more so than usual. Why? It's deer hunting season, folks. It's rifle gun season. And all over this state, guys on four-wheelers with semi-automatic rifles are doing something that's a little bit, sounds a little bit like this. And then the four-wheeler stops and you hear, blam, 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 blam. Damn, missed. That's what it sounds like. And it's really rough on the people who deer hunt in an honest fashion. That is, to sit quietly in the woods, slowly stalking one's prey until one gets a good shot and gets to take home the tenderloin. So, let's see. We're rural here, but, I mean, we're not that rural. We're not 20 miles from the nearest anything. And I know I've heard at least 25 gunfire reports, you know, the bang, the blam. Once upon a time, when we lived in an even more rural location here in West Virginia, we at that time we had this beautiful, beautiful yellow lab retriever. We had to buy her a blaze orange vest to make sure that the poachers wouldn't just blow her away thinking she was a pale deer. Because you get a lot of that in West Virginia this time of year. We call them road hunters. Drive down the road with a little short barrel 30-30 carbine, using the mirror on the side of the vehicle as a bench rest, and shooting deer to watch them, just to watch them go down. You know, it's like something out of a Johnny Cash song, only it's about a deer. Just to watch it die. So, you know, happy hunting season. But it is a foreshortened week. Program reminder for everyone, we will go into profound rerun mode at approximately 1 a.m. Eastern Time on Thursday morning, and it'll be all reruns until Monday. With one exception, well, maybe two, maybe three, not sure. But I know with one exception, you will get a brand new, fresh Night Sounds with your host Billy Shears on Saturday night at 9 p.m. That much I do know. Not so sure about Rick's Place or the Sourds Report. Or, not having heard from him, the new incarnation of the Cup of Joe weekend review program. But all of that is on the way. So we've got today, we've got tomorrow, and we've got Wednesday. Wednesday, if I can lay my hands on it, I want to continue a tradition that's been going for 3 years, 4 years now. This will be the fourth year. And that is a reading of probably one of my favorite pieces of short fiction. I indulge my ego a little bit to do readings from time to time, and this is one of them. And I like a sense of tradition. So we'll have a run at that Wednesday evening as well. What we do for the rest of the time, from now until Wednesday, is entirely up to you and partially up to me. I'll tell you, it has been a slow news day. When the resignation of Fran, oh God, what was her name? Fran Tarkenton? No, that was a football player. Fran something or another, who was the terrorism something or another in the Bush administration. When that's the lead, wow. I mean, considering she's never done anything in the first place. You know, a member of the real draw your breath and your pay at the same time crowd that the Bush administration seems to propagate with such ease. But she's decided to spend more time with her family, or she's gone broke like Tony Snow, or maybe waiting for indictment, I don't know. And then, of course, this broke last week, but we didn't quite have time for it. And just to let you know, that supporters of former Attorney General Alberto R. Gonzalez have created a legal defense trust fund to help pay for his legal expenses as he faces an ongoing Justice Department probe, which, if there is a God in heaven at all, will wind up in an indictment and will wind up seeing Alberto R. Gonzalez enter into the incredibly sadistic federal penitentiary system. Well, a contribution form is being sent about asking folks to donate to the Alberto R. Gonzalez Legal Expense Trust with little checkoff boxes for everything from $500 to $5,000. Now, what do you get for your $500 to $5,000? Well, we can offer these fabulous gifts to thank you for your... No, let me say that right. Fabulous gifts to thank you for your donation. For just $500, you can have the recorded telephone calls of any 10 Americans you request. You'll know everything they said in 2007. Of course, contributors to the Alberto R. Gonzalez Legal Expense Trust are protected, which is all the more reason you'll want this gift. Just in time for the holiday season, for just a $1,000 donation, the IRS will audit anyone you wish. And for you bargain lovers, order three audits for only $2,500. But wait, there's more. The audit's tax penalty, and we guarantee one, will be donated to the Alberto R. Well, you know. With a $2,000 donation, however, you can add anybody's name to the Transportation Security Administration terrorist list. What a surprise for that frequent flyer who suddenly finds himself spending 36 hours in a holding cell naked with a full cavity search. Complimentary tasering is included. And for an additional $500, the arrest and video footage will be leaked to Fox News. Now, for just $3,000, and it is just $3,000, you won't have to share this country with someone you don't like. That's right, you can have a person of your choice, their citizenship, revoked. And the Alberto R. Gonzalez Legal Expense Trust promises you reserve seating at the deportation hearing, and guess what? Legal Defense Fund will receive the forfeited Social Security. That's right. Now, for $4,000, what does $4,000 get you? Well, friends and neighbors, for $4,000 to the Alberto R. Gonzalez Legal Expense Trust, you can send someone to an indefinite stay at an unspecified site. And for an additional $500, you can personally conduct the enhanced interrogation. Bring your swim trunks. And for a $5,000 donation, you'll get a presidential pardon for whatever you did on the list that I've just shared with you. Isn't that nice? Okay, here's the honesty part. This is the full disclosure part. None of that came from my brain or my pen. Every last one of those words comes from the brilliant, lightning-fast mind and faster typing keyboard fingers of the single best satirist on the internets, on the World Wide Webby, that being Eugene Finnerman over at FinnermanWorks.com. If you have not signed up for the daily updates from FinnermanWorks.com, you're missing out on some of the sharpest, absolutely most scathing satire that is available on the web. Which reminds me of something, so do that, would you? Finnerman Works, F-I-N-E-R-M-A-N, Works, W-O-R-K-S, .com. FinnermanWorks.com, your RDA of irony, you will be glad you did. That way you'll be a step ahead of me when I rip off Eugene. Okay? because, well, what's that thing about writing? Oh, yeah, writing is easy. All you have to do is stare at a blank sheet of paper until blood drops form on your forehead. I find it much easier just to rip off Eugene, because he's so doggone smart anyway. And it's just sitting there. It needs to be verbalized. So thank you very kindly, Eugene Finnerman, sharpest satirist on the World Wide Web. But it does remind me of something. I was wandering over by Crooks and Liars this weekend, and I saw a video clip that said, "This is not your Daily Show." What it was a writer for the Daily Show on strike, sitting at a card table with a guy holding up poster board graphics. And you know what became apparent? It became apparent to me how much genius is involved in producing 24 minutes of material per day. 24 minutes. The Daily Show requires a staff of 14 professional comic writers, plus Jon Stewart, plus production assistants, plus videographers, plus sound guys and gals, plus cameramen, plus editors. There's probably 250 people at minimum involved in the production of 24 minutes of comedy 4 nights a week with 6 weeks of vacation a year. And if you see the video over at Crooks and Liars, while Jon Stewart is an amazing talent, and I am sure he is four square by the writers who make him look like the funniest man on television, it becomes abundantly clear just watching this little video, because it's funny without all the fun graphics. It becomes clear watching this video how much hard work goes into a show like The Daily Show or The Colbert Report. And, watching it, this is the part where my ego comes into play. And, frankly, the rest of the network as well. We don't have teams of writers. We don't have professional editors who sit and hang on our every word waiting to cut out the next promo, so there are always fresh promos running in the lineup. We don't have a lot of that. But you know what? If what you tell me in your email is any indication, you get a bunch of laughs out of this program from time to time, and from other programs. I've been told this specifically in the emails, you love John Fox's little giggle. And you loved it when Joe Vecchio would his self-deprecating humor. And God knows you absolutely get beside yourself when Peter Godbold begins to wax satiric or sarcastic. And all of that happens on the individual efforts of people mostly ad-libbing it. Now, I steal from people like Eugene Finnerman, who has given me his permission to steal in the past. I guess that makes it sort of... That's really amateurish stealing when the thief has to get permission first. And I've got a couple of other people who will occasionally pick up on something and send it along and say, here, work this one. And we do that for something on the order of 10 to 14 hours a day here at the Head On Radio Network. And nobody gets paid. The video over at Crooks and Liars made it abundantly clear to me just exactly what a monumental screwing the members of the Writers Guild are taking from the broadcast ownership. Because the broadcast owners want to be able to take whatever content is produced and put it up on the internet for people's general consumption and not have anybody have to pay for it. Or not, well, anybody, by anybody, I mean the broadcast company not have to pay the writers for doing the work on the program that then goes out on the internet. So I have a significant degree of sympathy for anybody who is in that situation. I hope the writers strike in soon, but it looks like, based on what I've read, that the company, as is so often the case with the company, is going to try to wait the writers out and make them knuckle under. Of course, the people who are really suffering are the people who don't have union representation, like the interns and the videographers and the production assistants, who literally, as the video notes at Crooks and Liars, are living from paycheck to paycheck and haven't had one for a couple of weeks now. Because God knows Viacom, which is the owner and ultimate producer of The Daily Show, they're not going to go broke anytime soon, but yeah, baby, the paycheck got cut off because, you know, you're not working. So all in all, somehow or another, I feel kind of, well, good. I feel better than ordinary about the work we do here. And so, you know, be that as it may, whatever. Now, of course, this being a shortened week, I hope we can get in lots of calls. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you've got an unlimited long-distance program or dialing plan or, you know, something like that with your cell phone or whatever, you can save us a little bit of money by dialing 304-658-5453. You can email Bob at headonradio.com. You can put up smoke signals, semaphores. You know, we'll do what we can. You can chat in the chat room at headonradionetwork.com. It's free. Jump right in. If you've never been to the chat room, you're missing a good time. It's a wacky, zany little crowd in there. So I guess I'm kind of laying all of this out there in anticipation of, well, yeah, it's a slow news day, but what is out there is not nice. So we'll get into that momentarily. Where do we want to go? You know what? I want to take a break. That's what I want to do. And I'm going to do that simply because when we do start wading into the mud, I want to have my galoshes on, my hip waders, whatever, because it will, of course, be nothing but pure, unmitigated evil. You know that. I know that. So we'll be back after a couple of messages, and in the meantime, fire up the phones if you want to get involved. It's all entirely up to you, whether you do, whether you don't. We will plod on through these 3 hours, but it'll be a lot more fun if you're plodding with me. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right.
We do?
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
Woke up this morning, I suddenly realized we're all in this together. I started smiling, 'cause you were smiling, and we're all in this together. I'm made of atoms, you're made of atoms, and we're all in this together. And long division just doesn't matter, 'cause we're all in this together. Yeah.
This is Larceny Night on Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. I stole that song from John Fox. Ben Lee, we're all in this together. Way back when he and Bruce Birch were doing Fourth Estate Radio, they had a segment that they always used that, and well, I just stole it. So, you know, I hope I can be forgiven for that as well. Let's go to the phones, and we, in doing so, find out who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, this is Kate.
Hey, Kate, how you doing, dear?
Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for that bumper music. I love that song. Thank you. However you get it, it don't matter, huh? You know, I wanted to, before you got to wandering around in the muck and the mire, I didn't know where you were going to go with the show tonight, but I wanted to just get in before we got distracted by something else. The other night when I was talking about the non-election, I've had time to ponder that and how that probably makes me sound, or like I'm apathetic and ignorant and God, but you're not paying any attention. You're not paying any attention, you know, whatever.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've got the sense that this, first of all, I've said all along that all this campaigning this far out, I mean, it's craziness. I was at my dad's house in what, April, March, when Senators Clinton and Obama did dueling black churches in Selma, Alabama.
That was
a campaign stop. Make no mistake about it. So this is all done expressly, Kate, for the benefit not of the electorate. We're not learning anything because politicians don't answer questions.
No. And I realized sometime in my little light meditations that I was when I talk or dialogue with somebody, I usually tell stories, or people say, "Oh God, you go on and on and on." But yeah, but if you're listening, I eventually get to the point. Well, with the limited cell phone minutes, I don't have time to get to the point, so I try to just drop things out like non-election, and that makes me sound, I presume it makes me sound like something I'm not.
No, you're presuming wrongly. I'm sorry. I just have to make that statement. You're presuming wrongly.
Okay, well, if I can't go on and on and on, I try to speak in metaphors that kind of, I speak in metaphors, and I'm thinking that the most clear, frightening metaphor that I could come up with, my attitude towards what's going on in the political scene this year and the year before and the election before and the election before that and even the election of the Clinton, is that the foundation and all the studs and the ceiling rafters and everything in our house that we call our culture, our government, our society have been eaten by termites. And if you don't know what to look for, you don't notice the termites there. If you take a stick and poke at the wood, it'll go right through, but the wood looks fine because the paint's covering everything up. And the termites were, our foundation is totally eaten and eroded and rotten, and we are all distracted by the party that's going out on the lawn. People are, you know, the yahoos that are out on the lawn having a good time, bright, shiny objects making big noise. And we're totally distracted by what's going on out front and not paying any attention to what we're sitting on or what we're standing on or how tenuous how rotten it all is. And that's my objection to. I just think, isn't anybody looking in the basement? Do you know how scary it is down there? Not just because it's...
Then the lights are burned out and there's creepy crawly things and it's wet and damp and slithery and yeah.
As that's the way basements are supposed to be if they're not taken care of. If you need it to live in yourself, then we've given it over to the creepy crawlers. I mean, that's what creepy crawlers do. They live in dark places. But if you need it to be habitable by humanity or humans, it needs to be taken care of and tended to with love and shed some light on the problems. And you know, so I just wanted to get in there with that. I don't know why I'm totally self-focused. I don't have a life enough until I get to Mississippi and we'll get...
is this Kate's self-deprecating phone call? Is that what this is?
Oh, I don't do self-deprecation too well. Then
I don't know. It's Monday and Kate's being rough on herself or something.
No, I'm just trying to make sure y'all understand where I'm coming from, that we're not paying attention to the basement. So that's my metaphor.
And America, well, let's extend the metaphor then, Kate. America has a big basement.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
And it's full of people who are trying to live in it. And we're letting the creepy crawlers move in.
No, that's good. Yeah.
And move in on people who don't have the wherewithal to fend them off. Not even so much as a flashlight to make the little creepy crawly things scurry.
Mm-hmm. And they've been scurrying around in the basement since way back in the 40s and 50s. That's what I keep trying. Nobody's paying any attention to Negra Pontiac, who is over in Pakistan doing more death squads and trying to get Musharraf out of his uniform. I mean, God, that's all they talk about. Get out of your uniform. Well, they just want him to put on a suit and take over as dictator again.
Well, you know, Brooks Brothers makes everything more palatable.
I mean, I just guess we're not, I guess the more we hear get a historical perspective, about this. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. The elections are always going the way that the big company in the sky wants them to go, and we're just sitting here fussing about and too scared to open the basement door and take a big look. And you know, and there's a party going on the lawn. Look at that. Are you watching the debates on Fox News?
Oh, look, a squirrel.
Carrying something shiny. Oh my goodness. Oh, look, the little squirrels are fighting. Aren't they cute? Aren't they cute? So anyway, I'm done ranting. I just wanted to remind people that there's still time for the end of November, and another way to save up some money is to buy, if you bought a turkey, about a 10-pound turkey instead of a 14-pound turkey, that's a whole bunch of money that you could send into the horn. There's lots of little ways to save, to have extra cash left over at the end of the month. So I know we're not even close. We're probably not even much over $500.
No, we've kicked past 600, but not much.
Oh, God. Well, I like you. I'm getting kind of tired.
Now, to be fair, I haven't had a mailbox update from Wayne.
Okay.
So
yeah, have you heard how the picket lines are going?
They're going.
Any violence?
No. Not that I'm aware of. Of course, you know, Wayne told us the other night about the organizer getting his car torched. You know, they're really subtle when they reach in and they stuff your floorboard with branches.
Yeah, that's
you know, if the fire marshal comes back and says, well, you know, the fire started from a loose wire that was touching an old McDonald's bag. Then you can say, well, you know, that's the life of, you know, we've all got old McDonald's bags and, you know, that kind of stuff can happen. But when, you know, but when there's enough branches in there for, you know, for a bird's nest, that's called kindling.
And it don't take much to set up. God, I know. I just worried about the people out on the line. I'm hoping that the people don't come across the street and cause trouble.
Well, I don't, I don't so much expect that. This is something that's the company is trying to do this strictly on misery, because it's a miserable time to be out there, and it's the holidays, and I don't know who's I would assume that someone in organized labor will be providing Thanksgiving Day dinner for the folks on the line, and for the folks who aren't on the picket line, because RNs don't make bad money.
No.
And when you go from whatever that is to zero, that's a far drop. And the finance companies aren't particularly friendly when they say, you know, where's the car payment? And you say, I'm sorry, I'm on strike. You know, why don't you call my employer and tell them to treat us like human beings?
you can't talk to a robot. So anyway, I just want to encourage people that there's still time left at the end of the month to take some rice out of the top of your bowl and send it to Head On. And I'm just still waiting on some night to log on, and the website's going to be dark and the speakers are not going to work, and that'll be it. And then I wish I'd have made bigger book on who was the last caller to call in on Head On.
I don't want to burn up any more of your minutes, because I know you're in prime time, but you have given me, either directly or indirectly, you have given me direction for where the rest of this program starts and probably heads, and I appreciate it, Kate.
Oh, well, damn. I'm just ever so glad to be a help. Take care, y'all.
Y'all
Bye.
Come back now, you hear? Thanks for taking my call. Bye.
Betcha.
Our good friend, Kate. And let's keep it rolling and see who's on line two. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Yeah.
Good evening. This is Ed.
Hey, Ed. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Been trying to get a hold of you, and I used that number there with the 43s, and I ain't never been able to reach you.
Well, I don't know. We go and we go and we go, but what, did it just ring?
Sir?
Did it just ring or what? I mean,
yeah.
Okay.
I only let it ring about four or five times. If you don't answer, why?
You know, sometimes we have to come running from the far end of the house, so.
Yeah. Have y'all got a number in the house?
No. All the lines are right here.
Okay. Well, what I wanted to comment on, you know, I heard you talking about the strike over there. Somebody set a car on fire. I don't know if you heard about.
Yeah. Wayne told us about that. I guess it was Thursday evening. That's what I was talking with Kate about. The, you know,
stuff. I didn't get all of the.
Yeah, they stuffed the floorboard full of branches. They weren't even trying to be sneaky about it.
Yeah. Well, Dreamer said two of the girls were outside over there. And of course, Wayne Bobby knows, and they rushed in and got a fire extinguisher and put it out. And here comes the guy that owned the car walking out of the woods and his wife down the road. So I think the police has pretty well got it put together. But they were trying to set the union up.
Lord. It's ugly, you know, and as long as, you know, you got a mayor over there in Beckley that doesn't give a tinker's damn about working people. So, you know, you're not going to get much help from the city.
Well, it'd be different if he just didn't give a damn. He's strictly against them. And me and him got into it on O'Brien's thing there, and after I got through, I asked him what he had to say about that. He said he didn't deserve an answer. So,
of course not. Anything he doesn't want an answer does not deserve an answer.
He didn't have no answer because I put the damn mud right in his face. He's, you know, if that election was held today, I don't believe that he would, I don't believe he'd have a chance just on this issue here because we could make a bigger issue out of it than what it is.
Yep.
Well, how's the political thing going? You been watching any of that?
Oh, you know, we were just talking about that a couple of minutes ago. I go back and forth on it, Ed. So much of this just seems like wrestling.
It's
a show.
Saturday night wrestling.
Yeah.
I like them answers that Dennis Kucinich gave the other night, especially that one, you know, all of them making excuses for what happens and stuff. And he said it pays to be right the first time.
Yeah, what if he had a president who'd been right all along? And, you know, I've been saying that, you know, I don't know, maybe we fed Dennis that line somewhere along the way a year or so ago when we were talking about it. I said, you know, you were right from the start. It appears that the American people are catching up with him.
Yeah, well, but I don't believe it'll be fast enough. Obama here, I see, took Iowa. I don't know if he knew that or not.
Well, it's not, the caucus hasn't happened yet.
Well, but the poll or whatever says Clinton Obama scandal claims that he dirt on the campaign trail. I don't know what's going on there. I'm going to listen to it in a little bit.
Well, there are allegations going back and forth that the Clinton campaign has some dirt on Obama that they have decided not to use. There are also rumors that are all flying all around official Washington media circles, things like that, about apparently Mrs. Clinton. It's putrid politics as usual, Ed, and I hate it. So I don't care about the sex life of any given particular candidate if they can get the job done.
Yep.
Can they end the war? Can they fix these god-awful free trade agreements?
Yeah.
Can they do something about health care in America? If they can answer yes to all of those questions, I don't care if they have sex hanging from a chandelier.
Yes, but they don't mean it. I still like Edwards and Kucinich. That's the pick of my...
Yeah.
I didn't know my door was locked and I got the company. But anyway, I just wanted to hear... I just wanted to, you know, hear what was going on. And
well, I'll be happy to...
Anything that ain't in the news going on?
I've got some things here that probably haven't been hit that hard, and we'll get to them through the course of the evening. You say you got company coming in. You want me to put you on hold?
Yeah, sure. A sure thing. And I'll talk to you later, and thank you for your time. And I'll give you a call one day. I need an explanation on... something maybe we can meet somewhere.
Okay, sounds good. We'll get together.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I will talk to you later. Tell everybody we said hi and happy Thanksgiving if I don't talk to you before then.
All right. Thank you, Ed. We really appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
And keeping it rolling, hey, who have I got?
Susan.
Hey, Susan, how are you?
Oh, hanging in there. I just thought I'd mention, I was listening to Kate,
And I just thought I'd mention, you know, that real cute little squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
It's nods on chance it's infected with bubonic plague.
Mad squirrel disease, sure.
Yeah, the black death, you know.
No. I mean, all kidding aside, you can get some nasty stuff in squirrel season.
They are known for carrying the black death, for carrying the plague.
Yeah, and tularemia, and whatever the rodent form of bovine spongiform encephalitis, mad cow disease, is.
Uh-huh.
There was a guy in West Virginia 4 or 5 years ago, went absolutely stark raving, you know, run over dog crazier than a sprayed roach. And he had had a passion for eating squirrel brains for the better part of his life. Squirrel brains and gravy. Good. And you know, when it was all said and done, they did an autopsy, and he had mad squirrel disease.
Uh-huh. And also in regards to Kate's metaphor, which was wonderful, by the way, and here's another metaphor. Instead of termites, how about dry rot?
Yeah. Yeah.
Living in an old house.
Of course, I think about scurrying cockroaches all the time, too, you know, when you turn lights on.
I used to live in Virginia, and I spent a couple months in Florida. And that, guaranteed, I will never go into that state again. I was about 10 and laying there. Of course, couldn't sleep, even without anything on. Laying there and all of a sudden feeling cockroach run up your back. I mean,
stop. Just stop right there.
Hey, it still gives me nightmares. So I'm never going to go anywhere near the eastern seaboard in Florida.
You saw one of those world famous palmetto bugs. The cockroaches that are about the size of a Volkswagen Beetle.
No, this was a cockroach. I know what a cockroach is.
No, well, palmetto bugs are too.
Mm-hmm.
They're just giant versions.
The kind you can ride?
Yeah. You know, lasso them, you know, put on a little cockroach circus, get the little treadmill going in there, the three rings, you know, little bitty car full of cockroaches comes in.
Yeah, I know. It is icky. And I'll take the Pacific Northwest any day.
Yeah, there you get rain and mildew, yeah, but no giant cockroaches.
Hey. Rain and mildew is wonderful. Rain is wonderful. Water is wonderful. It's clean. It's coming down from the sky, and you can actually drink it.
In some places.
Well, if you catch it in a clean container, you can.
Well, I mean, you know, we've got folks like Arch Coal and Peabody Coal and Massey Energy on, again, eastern United States, but there are coal burners out there, too.
I'm talking about where I am.
Yeah. But I saw some.
You know where the city of Portland gets its water?
Columbia
it's
River.
Something called no, it's Columbia River's polluted.
Well, that's going to be my point, but
the city of Portland gets its water from what is known as Bull Run Watershed, and it's this great big, humongous, forested tract of land. And it all comes from there. And there's a reservoir up there. It's uncovered, and it's just totally pristine. That's what city of Portland gets water.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice. And it's mostly rain-fed and some glacier-fed.
Glacier water.
Yeah.
The mention of rainwater, though, the reason I was telling John Fox last night as we were doing some tech work here in the studio, you know, he was 8,000 miles away, but we were doing tech work here in the studio.
Of course. Oh,
what a miracle. What a miracle. I read an article last night, and it really my eyes bugged out and eyebrows went up and went, you know, made one of those little, you know, horror movie noises. There is enough uranium, Susan, uranium. This was a new one on me, so, you know, pardon my ignorance. There is enough uranium that goes up the smokestacks in coal-fired power plants every year to power an entire reactor.
Mm-hmm.
And almost in perpetuity. You knew that already?
Yeah.
I didn't.
What country has some of the biggest natural reserves of uranium in the world? You're sitting in it.
Yeah, but I didn't know it was in coal.
Yeah.
Well, you could have knocked me over with a feather.
Look up, if you want to, look up...
I mean, I knew about the arsenic, I knew about the lead, I knew about the mercury, I knew about...
Look up...
No, never saw uranium in that list before.
Well, look up a substance called pitch blend.
Oh, sure, I know what pitch blend is. Pitch blend is uranium ore.
Uh-huh.
It's not coal.
Yeah, I know, but it's associated with it. A lot of times. And so a lot of times, these coal-fired, you know, you get coal, you're going to get a certain amount of uranium more.
Enough uranium going into the atmosphere to power a nuclear reactor. And, you know, we wonder why people who've never so much as gotten near a cigarette come down with all kinds of funky cancers. I was, you know, I'm a music geek, and I was wandering, and for some reason or another, I was reading about the Cars, and then I read that Benjamin Orr, who had been their bass player and the front man for about half of their biggest hits, died in 2000. Pancreatic cancer wiped him out in 5 months. He grew up, you know, in basically northern Ohio.
Yep.
And, you know, there are cancer clusters all over this country. What's that place in Montana? The entire... The W.R. Grace Company destroyed them, cancered the whole blessed community.
Mm-hmm. Can't remember that.
And then, of course, there's the Massachusetts town that was the basis for that book and movie, you know, true story, A Civil Action, where they had poisoned and caused cancer to an entire community in Massachusetts.
And then, of course, there's Hanford, Washington.
There's Hanford, Washington. There's the jury verdict that was recently rendered in Harrison County, West Virginia, where the DuPont Corporation knew. You know, it's not like it happened in 1890 and nobody really understood how poisonous this stuff was. The evidence was abundantly clear, and the jury went, wow, yeah, okay. That the company knew. They had studies. They had been proven. The stuff was toxic. And they just kept pumping it into it and pumping and pumping and pumping and burying and burying and burying. And then they poisoned an entire community, a chunk of a county.
Okay, here's one.
And guess, just for the fun of it, Susan, guess who their lead counsel had been until the last couple of years?
Alberto?
No. Nothing quite so as exciting as that. A woman named Stephanie Timmermeyer, who is now the head of the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
Protection.
Why doesn't that surprise me? Here's a good one. Oregon is known for its pristine habitat. It's also known for its pulp mills. What do they bleach paper with?
No idea.
Well, until a few years ago, they bleached.
I'm guessing it ain't
Clorox.
Dioxin, sure.
And then they dumped it in the Columbia River.
Nice people. Yeah, I know.
You know, so yeah, it's all over the country. These companies, they don't. I don't call them companies. I call them world wreckers. For a very good reason, that's what they do.
Yeah.
The whole planet is in the hands of world wreckers. And the prize example is West Virginia, but they're spreading out, and they make no bones about it. They're coming here, they're here, they're all over. Just ask Bhopal, India.
Yep. There were two places on planet Earth where methyl isocyanate that destroyed Bhopal, India, was manufactured. Bhopal, India, and Institute, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roan Palant. Nice. Charming.
Uh-huh. And, you know, it's just... there used to be a nuclear power plant just a few miles up the road from me. In fact, if you go on the web, you can see some really good YouTube film of it, the implosion of the cooling tower when they took it down. But it's just, yeah, that's one of the things about this so-called debate that just blew me away. They were talking about nuclear energy.
Oh, are you talking about the affair in Los Angeles that only Edwards, Clinton, and Kucinich showed up to?
No, this was recently.
Oh, okay.
Talking, I'm going, guys, nuclear energy? Don't even talk to me about nuclear energy. Don't talk to me about coal energy.
Yeah, let's see what happens with the solar cells and the... there was an energy debate in Los Angeles this past weekend, Susan.
Yeah.
And only John Edwards, Hillary Clinton, and Dennis Kucinich showed up. And one of the things that John Edwards mentioned was that he said, I opened a magazine and said, foreign firms say America ripe for green energy industry. And he said, what's wrong with that? He said, what's wrong with that statement? Why is it we're having to wait for foreign firms to figure out green energy alternatives for America? What has happened to the innovative spirit in this country?
It got shipped overseas.
Well, some of that is true, but it's also been killed, okay? It's going to be hard for green, whether it's a windmill, a wind energy company, or geothermal, or biomass, or the solar. It's going to be hard for any of those people to get traction because they don't have the welfare breaks that the oil industry does, Susan.
Yeah, and guess who stripped those out of the latest energy bill?
I know.
Wasn't the Republicans.
No, it wasn't. And guess who's made it almost impossible to put up another windmill in this country? Here's another same answer. It wasn't Republicans.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So we're on top of the news, Susan. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Love to Agnes.
And hey to Donald.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our good friend Susan calling from Columbia City, Oregon. And we've got someone blinking on the line right now, but we will take a quick listen at the news and find out how these jokers are mismanaging our planet this hour and come back with more of your calls to 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, or on your nickel, 304-658-5453. It's all just that easy, right here on America's Liberal Voice, The Horn. We'll be back.
This is the Quality News Network. As rescuers race to reach isolated areas in Bangladesh, relief officials are warning that the death toll could go even higher in the aftermath of the country's deadliest cyclone in more than a decade. Teams from international aid organizations are coordinating with army troops to deliver food, water, and clothing to villagers whose homes are now flattened rubble. More than 3,500 people are dead. Thousands more are missing. Martial law continues across Pakistan as President General Pervez Musharraf rejects Western demands to restore democratic rule before national elections early next year. Pakistan's new Supreme Court dismissed nearly all of the half-dozen challenges to Musharraf's re-election. All the new justices are hand-picked replacements of the former panel, all of whom were arrested earlier this month. A provincial governor of southwestern Afghanistan survived a suicide bomb attack this morning, but his son was killed along with six others. 14 people were wounded. In Cambodia, the former Khmer Rouge head of state arrested to stand trial for genocide, the fifth high official of Pol Pot to be charged. More than 2 million people died during the killing fields regime. 441 Palestinian prisoners released today as a goodwill gesture from Israel. Cabinet ministers approved the release ahead of landmark U.S.-sponsored peace talks, and they'll be happening next week. In Iraq, a series of sectarian bombings yesterday killed 17 Iraqis, wounding 48. One attack in Baghdad targeted a newspaper editor and finance ministry official. A suicide attack in Bakuba in the volatile Diyala province killed 3 U.S. soldiers and 4 Iraqi children yesterday. The troops were handing out holiday gifts to a crowd of Iraqi youngsters. In Washington, D.C., the administration's chief advisor on Homeland Security and Terrorism has resigned. Fran Townsend serving in the position for more than 4 years. Former Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick turning himself in to authorities to begin serving up to 18 months in prison. Vick pleaded guilty to federal charges of conspiracy back in August. That's in connection with a dogfighting operation. He is suspended indefinitely from the NFL. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at science and business news just ahead. But first, this message.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher and you tell her you're too tired to look for it, I know. You're very good at keeping a secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, "Honey, I can read," just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
The Japanese whaling fleet today steamed out of harbor on its way to hunt humpback whales in Antarctica, despite warnings from Western allies. Japan says it will kill about 1,000 whales. The country is using a loophole in a global moratorium that allows lethal research. Whale meat is a prized menu item in Japan. Activists reporting up to 80% of electronics recycled by Americans are sent overseas to fuel a global trade that ultimately endangers both the environment and poverty-stricken workers. E-waste is often brokered by Chinese-owned companies to countries in Asia and Africa. Food banks and soup kitchens nationwide reporting an unprecedented scarcity of donations. Many groups say they're canceling Thanksgiving dinners and food baskets. More working families are in need than ever before. French transport workers striking for the second week. The protest considered a crucial test of economic reforms promised by French President Nicolas Sarkozy. As expected, America's number two home improvement retailer, Lowe's, posting a 10% decline in quarterly earnings and lowering its annual forecast. Light sweet crude oil currently trading at $94.64 a barrel. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average in free fall once again, dropping 218 points to close at 12,958. There's always more at our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
right, 5 minutes past the hour. On track for a heck of a good hour of conversation radio right here on the horn. And let's see, let's not waste any time. Let's go straight to the phones. I believe we've got Larry calling in from Florida. Is that you, Larry?
That's me. Do you hear me?
I got you. 5x5, loud and clear.
Oh, great. Hey, Bob. You know, all these candidates say they're going to fix the health care system. I just had my contact with the health care system today. It seems that, back during the summer, my wife had a sudden severe pain in her arm. You know, at our age, you think heart attack. Mm-hmm. We took her to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out to be a pinched nerve, not a heart attack, so that was good.
That's the upside of the news, but you're dealing with the health care system, so...
Yeah, our hospital is a preferred provider of our insurance company, and we have pretty good insurance. So it was no big worry there. But today I get this bill from some emergency physicians company. And it turns out that even though my hospital is a preferred provider and takes what the insurance company gives them, this subcontractor was not at the time a preferred provider, and so the insurance company said, we're not going to pay for it. So I get a bill from them.
Nice, and of course, Florida being Florida, you can't sue the insurance company, can you?
Probably not. I called them, and they said, well, send in a request for reconsideration. Apparently, this happens a lot because the lady knew exactly what should go in the letter and everything, so we'll see what happens. But, you know, that's a gotcha. They never tell you that the doc is not working for the hospital.
Oh, no, and frankly, if you're worrying about whether or not something is a heart attack, you really don't... I don't see how anybody could be expected to have the presence of mind, Larry, to... say, you know, by the way, I need to know the nature of the business relationship, and I need to know if the guy who's the emergency room physician on call has a working relationship with my health care provider. It's not only unreasonable, it's surreal, obscene, and insulting.
Yes, and so we have, you know, two corporate structures to support. Judging from the bill, the doc must have been pulling in $1,000 an hour.
That sounds about right.
And you know, when you look at these things that come back from the insurance company, if you're fortunate enough to have insurance, you know, the provider will bill about three times what the insurance company will pay, and they have agreed to accept that. Now, if you were some poor soul that didn't have insurance, you'd get the full bill.
Yeah, if you're private pay, you pay and pay and pay. There are layers of fraud here that I don't know if we could ever, until we get to the point where something like H.R. 676 comes into play, the Medicare for All Act, that takes the concept of profit absolutely out of decisions about the well-being of Americans. I don't know if we can ever get to the bottom of it, Larry. The other thing that's at play here, the lady you talked to certainly did know what to tell you to do to get it reconsidered. And what you'll do now is you'll escalate up through, you'll go up to level two of the bureaucracy. And what they're counting on here, and they'll throw up roadblocks as long as they can get them up to you. I'm guessing, but this is, you know, a pretty educated guess, because there's something that they talk about in the insurance industry and in the legal defense industry called the lump it factor. And that is that human beings have a certain built-in lack of tolerance for being jerked around. And most human beings, when they reach that threshold, no longer wish to participate. A few will try to go and sue, but the vast majority of people just lump it. So please understand that you're gonna be facing that,
as you go through this process, and you're going to have to keep escalating it upwards until you get, because they've got an institutional threshold at which once you have passed it, you know, they might pay. But they're going to play based on their assumption that you are going to get out of the game and just eat the bill somewhere along the way. And, you know, it's that time of year, Larry, so the more they can get people to do that, the larger the CEO's Christmas bonus is.
Oh, right. And it's multiple CEOs because we've got multiple layers of corporate structure here.
Sure.
Subcontractors. I had to go get a CT scan last year. You know, the bill was like $5,000, but the insurance company paid about a third of that, which was still outrageous. And then you get notification that they also paid a radiologist, you know, who's another contractor.
Right.
And you know, when I go to have blood work done, the people who actually draw the blood are another company. You know,
and then the people who analyze the blood are another company.
Right. We've got these multiple profit making enterprises in there. And I've talked to friends, you know, you say, well, they have to jack up the prices because a lot of people can't pay. Well, they don't just write that off. I talked to a friend who said his daughter was in a situation where she didn't have an income, and they don't just write it off. They sell it off to a collection agency.
Sure.
You know? And so I imagine they sell it off at a loss, but the loss that then they take on their taxes is that, the difference between that and the inflated bill that they sent out.
Exactly.
That sounds like...
And what's more, Larry, when the first bill collector, if they're not successful, they'll turn around and resell it. The debt gets sold off time and time and time again, down through a substrata of bottom-feeding, sleazy collection companies.
Yeah.
Over and over, and everybody makes money on it.
Yeah, I don't mind that, you know, people who provide services get paid. I don't even mind that they get paid well.
Gosh,
but
no.
There seems to be a lot of waste in the system.
Well, there is, and that waste, but you know, you and I would call it waste, Larry, but if you talk to a Republican would tell you that that is a free market dynamic. That's not waste. That's all kinds of Americans making perfectly good money off of, you know, your health care issues.
Well, I think we should start talking about something other than profit. Maybe we should talk about creation of wealth. And all those people in the middle there don't create any wealth. They just move money from one place to another.
Yeah, they're pile pushers.
Yeah. And so it's there's a lot of activity that we pay for that gives us nothing in return.
Yeah, those people would generally be termed drones, I guess. And you know, the other part of the healthcare mumbo jumbo and the three card Monty part of it is you mentioned a little bit ago the inflated prices. Consider for a moment, a lot of people have 60-40 or 80-20 healthcare policies. And what that's supposed to mean is that when medical bill A comes out, your insurance company pays 80% of the bill and leaves you to pay the remaining 20, right?
Right.
But when they negotiate their little deal with the hospital, let's say the bill is for $1,000, you would think that the hospital would pay $800 and you would pay $200. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what winds up happening is the hospital actually gets paid $400 because of the negotiated agreement between the carrier and the healthcare provider. So they get $400 and you pay $200. Guess what? You don't have an 80-20 policy.
Right. Oh yeah, the power of mathematics.
Yeah, and so you've been a victim of a fraud. But the insurance companies say, well, no, we're not defrauding anybody. We're just engaging in free market economics, and we're free to negotiate our contracts. And you know, it's they're still paying 20% of $1,000. But $1,000 isn't what the bill turned out to be.
Yeah. And if they can take, $400 from the insurance company, why can't they take $400 from somebody else?
Sure. And one of the biggest problems that this exposes is the fact that you're in Florida.
Yeah.
I'm in West Virginia. There's listeners all over the country here, and every single one of those listeners has a different set of insurance laws, if you can imagine it.
Right. And every insurance company has different forms.
Right. And so there's no uniformity. A person who lives in Florida can have a harder time of it than a person in New York. Or Wisconsin can be better off than Alabama, because particularly in the old Confederacy, the insurance commissions, because every state has an insurance commissioner, the insurance commissions are run by, it's not of the people, by the people, and for the people, it's of the insurance company, by the insurance company, and for the insurance company. Because without fail, just as West Virginia's Secretary of the Department of Economic... DEP, Environmental Protection, just as that person comes right out of the pollution industry, so too, in many, or probably most states, an insurance commissioner rises out of the insurance industry, not out of, a law office where people enforce the insurance laws against the insurance companies.
Right, right.
So you're guaranteed to have a mess.
Yeah. And then if you're sitting in the doctor's office waiting room, and no matter what time of the day you go, while you're sitting there, at least one drug company representative will come in carrying a little cartload of goodies.
Oh yeah, I've talked to those guys a couple of times. Just look at them while they're sitting there. Try to make sure that I cough on them a couple of times. And so, how long you been in the drug hustle? Or, how long have you been a drug dealer?
Yeah.
They don't like it when you call them drug dealers. I'm a pharmaceutical representative.
Yeah, they don't sit there in the waiting room very long. You'll sit there a lot longer than they do.
Oh, sure.
Because they're carrying a cake or a dish of sandwiches or something.
I saw when my dad and I were down in Alabama, his primary care physician, we had a couple of appointments on a Friday, and I went in there, and every Friday a drug rep catered lunch for that entire medical practice group.
Right.
Now, do you think you think that drug company got any preferential treatment from that doc?
Yeah, and look around. Every box of tissues has a company logo on it. All the supplies, they came from some drug company.
Right. So it would seem to me, Larry, that it's pretty clear where the problem lies.
Yeah.
And it's not with you and me, and it's not with America getting sick. It's with people getting rich off America getting sick.
Yeah, and it's much worse in Florida than it is up there. We have relatives up in the north, and the docs have got us coming back every 3 months, no matter what's wrong with you. Up there, my wife has a sister who's, over 80 years old, and she goes back, every 6 months. And she's on all kinds of drugs.
Sure.
But, they keep us coming in every 3 months if they can. Just to bump up the fee. They know most of us are on Medicare, and that's a sure thing.
Well, given the nature of the population demographics in Florida, it surprises me that they're allowed to get away with what they do. But look, you've got a Republican governor, and you've had a Republican governor for 8 years before that. The hogs have both feet in the front feet in the trough.
Most of these people are well enough off that they're living on their investments, and they think like Republicans.
That amazes me. It amazes me. Yeah. The willingness of people to allow themselves to be run over just astonishes me.
Yeah. Well, you know, soon, I think before too long, you know, things are going to fall apart here. You know, the dollar is becoming worthless. Something's going to have to happen.
Well, we got the poll results back from last week's online poll that we posted at headonradionetwork.com. And it was pretty interesting, because the weekly poll this past week, Larry, was all things considered, where do you see the American economy headed? And the choices were complete economic collapse, the mother of all recessions looms, it will hold steady, and prosperity abounds just like the president says. Well, the way it broke out, mother of all recessions got 50% of the tally. Complete economic collapse got 40% of the tally. It will hold steady got 10% of the tally, and not a blessed person voted for prosperity abounds.
Right. That, you know, I do some volunteer teaching, you know, with fifth graders, and I bet every one of them would know that if you buy more than you sell, you're going broke.
Well, that's really, really simple math, isn't it?
Yeah. And I keep wanting to ask a question in one of these so-called debates. You know, would you explain what compound interest is and how it's calculated?
Oh, no. No fair, Larry. No fair asking the hard questions.
Well, that's not really one of my hard ones.
Oh, but for some politician who would have to triangulate around it, that's real tough.
Oh, right. You were talking about squirrel disease.
Yeah, mad squirrel.
Yeah, mad squirrel. I suspect that the congressional cafeteria has been serving squirrel brains
for generations, Larry. For generations.
Okay, Bob. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you. I hope you'll come. Don't be a stranger, okay?
Okay, I'm heading up to North Alabama tomorrow.
Are you really? Where are you going?
Huntsville.
Oh, wow. Well, enjoy yourself. There's a great little German restaurant up there, Larry.
Yeah?
The old Heidelberg House. It's yummy.
Oh, I know the place.
Oh, well, enjoy.
Okay.
All right, drive careful. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. I assumed he was driving in. Some people still fly, you know, the ones that aren't threats to national security, like, you know, me. Let's see, who have we got? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
You got me? I'm Mark Mahoney.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm working my way east. I'll be moving to Ohio next month.
Is it official? Yeah. Are you going to Cincy?
I am, But here's something that would come as a surprise to you after your last call. I'm going to work for an insurance company.
Okay.
But don't panic. It's not a health insurance company, and we won't be dealing with health insurance. So it's not quite that evil. But the way I look at it is who would you rather have make an insurance company money? Me? Sort of what would you call it? A plant within the company there, a Democrat
sure.
plant, or just another Republican?
Oh, I'll take you any day of the week, Mark.
Okay, all right, that's good. And I was just wondering a couple things here. Where is the approximate world headquarters of Head On Radio? I know it's in West Virginia, but where is the nearest biggest city?
Beckley.
What is it?
Beckley. B-E-C-K-L-E-Y. Beckley.
Okay. All right.
That's where our mailing address is, and that's where the beating nerve center is.
World headquarters.
Absolutely.
And is that in the central part of the state, east or west?
No, it's the southern part, southern West Virginia.
Okay. Right. I'll look it up.
It's about 45 miles south of Charleston.
And then I was wondering about the Head On Radio webpage, and And I don't know if you have the resources to improve upon that or not, but
now are you talking? Okay, Mark,
an opportunity. Yes.
Are you talking about headonradio.com or headonradionetwork.com?
Well,
headonradio.com is a website that I set up back when I was doing terrestrial radio, and it's very low functionality. It's got some message boards and stuff like that, but it's there's. I don't do much with it. The the network home is now Head On Radio and is headonradionetwork.com. It's got the blogs for all the programs. It's got the listen live links. It's, you know, it's what we put out there as the home.
Okay, I'll go take a look at that. Do you have any information on it about your fundraising and what your goals are and how you're doing?
No, we haven't put anything there yet. I know Ben Birch used to use a thermometer on his website at whiterosesociety.org. It might be time for us to do something like that.
Yeah, it might be worth a try, just to give people the opportunity to know what the needs are. And
yeah, a visualization.
To contribute.
Right. We've got the mailing address up there. We've got the PayPal buttons on the main page, but we don't have a visualization of where the contributions stand for any given month.
All right. And then finally, after I get relocated over there and start to work on important matters, I will get around to cleaning up the West Virginia coal industry. But before I do that,
okay, we'd appreciate it.
Before I do that, I'm going to be camped right along the shores of the Ohio River there, and I, even over in Wisconsin, have always belonged to different groups that have been working for clean water. You had a little bit of an environmental topic earlier in the evening. What is the state of the environment in, as far as water pollution and rivers from your perspective?
Only getting worse, Mark. There are pockets of people trying to be proactive about it and do the right thing. But there's pending legislation in Congress that we have urged listeners to call their representatives over. There's a Clean Water Act in Congress that desperately needs to be passed. Of course, I'm sure that George Bush would do what George Bush does so well, and that is veto anything that makes a half a lick of sense. But it's hard for me to look outside this little region where I live, because our problems are so vast. It's the stream buffer zone rule that is under contemplation by the federal government right now, that would basically enshrine as administrative law the right for these mountaintop removal companies to continue, not to begin to, but to continue, Mark, to bury streams. And, if you're familiar with the hills at all, you know how a hill system is. You'll have these little rivulets that run between the hills. And they'll be 4 feet wide or 5 feet wide or 50 feet wide sometimes. It's entirely, river, creek, whatever. And we just take the coal companies are allowed to take the top off the mountain and shove it over and just bury the stream.
That would have to be the ultimate example of water pollution, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We eliminate the stream by burying.
And, well, I'm sure you know what I mean by weasel words. The coal industry says they're only burying ephemeral streams.
Okay.
And they say that those are streams that only run part of the year. I heard one coal executive describe it as, it's just basically a ditch, and when it rains, the water runs down it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's channeling. and that has a place in the way the mountain ecosystem works. But what turns out is any stream, these mountaintop removers, any stream is an ephemeral stream to them.
Mm-hmm.
If it needs burying, it gets ephemeral real quick.
That's how it's defined.
Yeah. Now, you want to go into larger rivers? Well, all these little streams from these mountaintop removal jobs flow into larger rivers. These ephemeral streams, these small creeks and runs and rills and branches and so forth, run into, for instance, the big coal river, or the Pond Fork of the Coal River. The Coal River empties into the Kanawha empties into the Ohio into the Mississippi. It's an interconnected system. Anybody who's ever done systems analysis or anything like that can, this is the very beginning of the system itself. on the other side of the state, you've got companies like DuPont, Union Carbide, and others that for eons have just poured filth into major rivers like the Ohio. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to be downstream in Cincinnati of some of the most vile filth that's ever been pumped into a river than it was dumped in up around Parkersburg. Mm-hmm. You know, only a fool would eat fish out of the Ohio River, for instance.
Okay, well, it sounds like I got some work to do.
I'd say you do. You know, I hope you can hook up. You know, there are chapters of something called River Keepers all over the country, if I understand correctly. That's an organization with which Robert Kennedy Jr. is intimately involved, and I think they do some magnificent work. When he came and delivered a little address down in southern West Virginia a few months back, he talked about the work that they had done in the Hudson River watershed.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get serious about it, we can make it better, but it's not getting better right now.
Okay.
You know, whether it's the Tennessee, the Ohio, or the Little Kanawha, for that matter. Good to hear from you, Mark. When do you go east?
December 3rd is my first day.
Oh, wow, so you're right on top of it.
Yeah, so about another week or so, I'll be packing my bags and heading over there, and if I get a couple extra bucks, I'll send them your way.
We sure would appreciate it if you get an opportunity, and we'll try to put up some sort of graphic representation if we can find a corner of the website to put it on. But, yeah, go have a look at headonradionetwork.com. I know there's some confusion, but that is the network homepage.
Okay, will do.
All right.
Talking to you.
Good talking to you, Mark. Happy Thanksgiving week.
Yep. Same to you, Bob.
Bye now. It is Thanksgiving week. And being Thanksgiving, well, we're supposed to be giving thanks to someone or something. When we get around our Thanksgiving table, I will give thanks to the members of my family. I will make a special point of thanking Agnes for being the best partner in life that I could ever have. For standing by me through thick or thin, for staying with me for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, for putting up with the chore that living with me is. And I'll thank my children. I'll thank them for paying attention to me when I try to tell them something they need to know. I'll thank them for the warmth and the kindness and the decency and the goodness that they show and that they affirm for Agnes and me in knowing that maybe, just maybe, we're raising halfway decent human beings to pick up the torch when we can't carry it anymore. I'll thank my friends. I'll thank my relatives and let them know how important they are in our world. And I can't, the holiday season is about kids largely. And so I'm particularly taken aback when, I've told you in the past that it's my humble opinion that some of the sharpest writing and responding in the entire blogosphere is to be had at mahablog.com, mahablog.com. Our good friend Barbara at Mahablog was on the program not too terribly long back. And I sort of, yeah, I guess it was Saturday morning, I crawled out and found someone had sent me this link, a post called Just Wrong. And it's two blogs in one. The first story has to do with a woman who doesn't have a lot to be thankful for right now. Her name is Sakla Umanzor. She is a Honduran woman. She was in Ohio. Sakla Umanzor is, according to the current Argot or Argo, whatever pronunciation gods can get me, she's an illegal immigrant. illegal human. You know, that was one of those great lines Dennis Kucinich got out a few nights ago. He said, I kind of resent the way we talk about these people. He said, by my way of thinking, there's no such thing as an illegal human being. Good on you, Dennis. But the Icemen, Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, you know, the guys who were at the Halloween party where a guy showed up dressed in prison garb with dreadlocks and, you know, leg irons and done up in blackface, and the head of Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, Julie Myers, gave him first place for the creativity, originality, and hilarity of his costume, those Icemen. Well, the Icemen took down Sakla Umanzor for being an illegal immigrant. They literally ripped away from her breast her nursing daughter, Brittany Bejarano. Brittany Bejarano was born in the United States to Sakla Umanzor, and she, though she probably does not know it at this early stage of her life, is a citizen of the United States of America, and she's free. She was born free as the wind blows. Her unfree mother was separated from her child, her nursing infant, and Sakla Umanzor was taken away and put in detention. The nursing infant, on the other hand, was put into the custody of Children and Family Services. Yeah, really. The baby, they took this baby who had been nursed at her mother's breast, who was accustomed to nursing at her mother's breast, who was getting the, you know, the federal government, they subsidize programs encouraging new mothers to breastfeed their children, because, and they put out posters that say things like, breastfeeding your child will make your child a happy child. Breastfeeding your child will make your child a healthy child. Breastfeeding your child will keep your child from being likely to have early childhood diseases. They took little Brittany Bejarano and stuck her on some nice bottles of corporate formula. Brittany Bejarano wouldn't eat for 3 days. No Thanksgiving for Sakla Umanzor. And in the mind of a nursing infant, who knows? They can't quite tell us yet. But in the mind of this American citizen, Brittany Bejarano, all she knows is that the smiling face that used to coo at her as she took nourishment at the breast is gone. Because Sakla Umanzor is an illegal human being, there is no requirement whatsoever that Brittany Bejarano, American citizen, ever be rejoined with her. From the news article from the New York Times, these paragraphs. Under the 14th Amendment, any child born in the United States is a citizen and cannot be deported. But with very rare exceptions, immigration law does not allow United States citizen children to confer legal status on parents who are illegal human beings until the children are 18 years old. While the federal government does not keep statistics on the children of deportees, immigration lawyers said that most immigrants who are deported take their children with them, even if the children are American citizens. Quote, children have no rights to keep family members here because they are citizens. Jacqueline Baba, a lecturer at Harvard Law School, said that. She specializes in citizenship law. When parents face deportation, she said, the law penalizes United States citizen children by forcing them to choose between their family and their country. Unfortunately, Brittany Bejarano can't make that choice. It will be made for her by a judge. While Sakla Umanzor, 26 years old, will have the choice thrust upon her. You know, I'm not competent to talk about female physiology. Ladies, how long does it take for milk to dry up in a breastfeeding mother? This story is dated November 17th. It references the raid in which Miss Umanzor was captured as having happened in October 26th. She was released 11 days later. All those 11 days, Ms. Umanzor did not see her daughter. At this point in time, 70 miles east of Cleveland at Conno, Ohio, 70 miles east of Cleveland, she's under house arrest with her two other children and little Brittany. Her lawyer has asked for her deportation to be stayed on humanitarian grounds. That, of course, is the most laughable ground that anyone could ever plead in front of the Bush administration, because the Bush administration, after all, doesn't exactly do humanitarian. It will be a bittersweet Thanksgiving for Sakla Umanzor and her three children, including Brittany Bejarano. Jesus, what have we become? What have we become? Let's go to the phones. Quitter. What else do we have? Well, a little bit more follow-up. The Icemen showed up at Miss Umanzor's home. She was there with two of her three children, both of whom are American citizens. They came looking for a brother-in-law of Ms. Umanzor. She was literally breastfeeding her baby while the Icemen took her down. The baby was born in Oregon. Ms. Umanzor's husband was working there in a sawmill. She said, just thinking that I was going to leave my little girl, I began to feel sick. I had a pain in my heart. No kidding. No kidding. La Raza is a national Hispanic organization. They released a study. 912 adults arrested in raids had 506 children among them, three-quarters of whom were under 10 years old. About 340 of those children were born in the United States. The children faced economic hardship after one or both of their breadwinning parents were detained or deported by the Icemen. Many families had to hide for days on end. Many families have removed their children from school, some living in basements, much as Jews had to, hiding from, well, you know. But we won't make that comparison because We're not like them. No, not us. Back to the phones. Hi, who have I got?
Hey, Bob, it's Mike from Woodstock.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm good.
Good to hear from you.
I used to kind of live in Woodstock and New York. I was kind of traveling between the two spots.
Right.
But I gave up my place in the city, so I'm just full-time in Woodstock now.
Is that a better thing for you?
Yeah, it is, because I was just kind of always kind of living out of my bag, basically, in both places.
Yeah, it's nice to settle down and get to unload the bag once in a while.
Yeah, so that's what I did. I threw away. I had a lot of stuff in my apartment in New York. I threw it all away. I feel a lot lighter in general.
A little bit living a little bit more gently on the planet, you think?
Yeah, that too. You know, not as much traveling and so on, and gives me a good time to reflect here in the woods by the stream in Woodstock, which is a very spiritual place. There's lots of Buddhism and all kinds of spiritual activities constantly going on here, so it's a good place for me.
Yeah, what right-wing politician did I see making fun of Woodstock the other day? I did.
But most people don't realize the concert wasn't in this town. It was in the town of Bethel, which is about 50 miles from here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it was the festival was named after Woodstock because Woodstock's famous as an artist colony. So,
it goes on a poster better than the Bethel Music Festival too, doesn't it?
That's true, but the Bethel Performing Arts Center is pretty huge now. It's built somewhat near the old concert site. And, you know, they have huge concerts there. It's pretty much a big deal. But I was listening to you talking about this whole notion of illegals and aliens and so on, and I do agree with you. It's like Nazis hunting down Jews, and the way people are reacting to it, the way, for example, Hillary Clinton and Elliot Spitzer, the governor of New York, had to do an about-face on this idea that people who are not here legally should not have the right to have driver's licenses. And the whole thing is pretty sickening. It's just this tidal wave of garbage. It's the new Republican agenda.
Well, let me just ask you a little question. I mean, you know, you operate a vehicle there in New York. Is New York a mandatory insurance state?
Yes.
Okay. So we know, and this is the part that I don't understand, and you know, right-wingers and Republicans are not very good at thinking things through. And they're all about, you know, we've got to be protected, you know, really security, insecure, whatever. We know that we have people who are undocumented living in this country. That just, you know, goes without saying. We also know that those people are going to operate motor vehicles in this country because this is a motor vehicularized nation. You can't get along without one, hardly. Now, what's the greater risk, providing some form of documentation so that these people can buy some insurance, or leaving them to run the roads in an uninsured state and perhaps do catastrophic harm in a wreck, not because they have wrecks because they're undocumented, but because negligence happens?
Well, hopefully they'll hit some Republicans.
I'm right there. And then, by golly, you'll see Rudy Giuliani come out and say, "Oh, we got to get a driver's license for these people so they can have some insurance."
Rudy Giuliani, what a joke! I lived throughout his whole tenure in New York City. The guy was a big coward. He's a friend of the mafia. The guy, during his time, I mean, I had friends who were locked up, you know, for days on end for nothing, and he started busting people for smoking pot all over the place in New York, locking them up. New York had some of the highest lockup rates for nothing, for these ridiculous things.
And now we find out that Giuliani's people are the ones who strong-armed Judith Regan about staying quiet about Bernie Kerik.
Exactly.
With any luck at all of this will spiral completely out of the Giuliani camp's control, Mike, and you know, he'll dry up and blow away before he can present a credible threat to the Republic.
You think, though, that, you know, the talk all day on Air America was about how the media is kind of strong-arming the primary process through
mm-hmm.
planet speakers and, and all this different kind of stuff. Like the media is kind of deciding, you know, it's going to be Giuliani and Clinton, and nobody else really has a say in it at that point. Do you agree with that?
I agree with a lot of it. I saw a segment where Suzanne Malveaux, who is a White House correspondent or some political correspondent for CNN, declared that the real winners of last Thursday's debate, or whenever it was, the real winners were the American people. Okay, so the American people won by having questions about diamonds or pearls force-fed to Hillary Clinton? Mike, how do you square that with winning?
I don't know. We're such a media mad country.
Yeah, and to be fair, Senator Clinton didn't plant that question. That was entirely planted by the CNN people.
They're moving closer and closer to Fox, aren't they?
Sure they are. And Fox is pushing, but it's more like a locomotive. Fox is dragging everything to the right. You know, Robert Greenwald over at Brave New Films has this documentary out about Fox's fascination with pornography. And they've busted them dead on. You can go and watch the thing. How many different times that they show salacious video behind some story about, you know, the culture war in America or some such.
Right.
But every time they do that, these broadcast executives are so, it's a hive mindset, isn't it, Mike? They've got a successful right-wing talker. We need a successful right-wing talker. And that's how you wind up with Glenn Beck on headline news instead of, a Malloy or a Schultz or a Stephanie Miller or somebody who could actually get some ratings.
Yeah, and Glenn Beck, ironically enough, is advertised like crazy on the local Air America affiliate in New York City.
Oh, I know. I've seen Glenn Beck pop-up ads show up on liberal websites, and you just kind of go, that silent scream sort of thing. But it's not something the individual website has any control over. They bought the ad, so they get to put it there.
Right. Yeah, they pay for impressions. Every 1,000 impressions, the website gets $3 or something.
Right, and what some of the stuff I've read coming out of CNN, they actually think that Glenn Beck is not a right-winger.
Yeah.
In what universe is Glenn Beck not a right-winger, Mike?
And that whole kind of dumbing down act that he does. Or maybe that's real. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a high-pitched Columbo. Maybe it's me, but do you... No, I'm not going to do the Glenn Beck thing. I'm just not going to do it. Because then I'll have to stop the show and go get a shower.
So anyway, that's about it. I just catch you up. I'm here out in Woodstock. I'm rebuilding my my travel service, AirTech. We're going to be coming back out as an alternative travel website.
Oh, wow, cool. Will you shoot me an email and let me know when it's up and live?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be about shamanism, spiritual travel, yoga, green travel.
Oh, very cool.
It's going to be all very far to the left.
Very cool, very cool. Well, please let me know when it goes live, and we'll note it on the website as well, and hopefully generate a little traffic. And right now, about all the traveling I can do is from the desktop of the computer. So I'm a real big one for looking at all the places I'm going to go someday.
Okay, well, when you're ready, give me a holler. I'll give you a great deal.
Okay, sounds great, because I bet you you're already thinking about some of the places I'd love to go. I want to see the Yucatan before it gets completely ruined.
Oh man, well the jungle parts, those places are okay. It's the coastlines that have been ravaged.
Yeah, I want to be at Chichen Itza on March 21st and see the serpent come down the staircase.
I'd like to be there in 2012 when this awful paradigm we're living in comes to an end.
I think that would be cool, too.
I'll leave you on that note, and peace to you and to all the listeners.
And to you, too, Mike. Glad you're home and putting down roots.
All.
Bye now. Our good friend Mike calling from Woodstock, New York. Well, I can't wait to see that website, and I bet you can't either. Because, I do. I armchair travel here. I was doing it today, as a matter of fact, because horn psychologist and host of Rick's Place, Rick Goodner, has recently come back from a little trip, a little dive trip that he took down to Cozumel, and he sent me some photos today, and they were just cool. And before he went, I was saying, you got to get to a pyramid. You got to go. You got to get on top of a pyramid and like, you know, do some spiritual cleansing and stuff. And, you know, because, you know, I can tell people how to cleanse their spirits. Yeah, I mean, because I'm me. But that led me off down the garden path of wandering around Google Earth, which is one of my favorite things to do. And, oh, Lord, there are just places that... places I want to see, places I want my children to see, places I want to see with my wife and children, barring the one primary problem of seeing anything far away with my wife and children, and that is getting my wife on the airplane. But that's a story for another day. Well, we are right on top of the news, pretty close. A quick update for you, just because you probably ought to know this. Nothing complicated, nothing particularly huge. Very short, three-paragraph story. But one of those that, you know, makes the little hairs stand up on the back of your neck because you realize, oh, mercy, we're, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. The U.S. military, this is a story posted today, headline, U.S. plans case against Associated Press photographer. The U.S. military plans to seek, calling Dr. Freud. The U.S. military plans to seek a criminal case in an Iraqi court against an award-winning Associated Press photographer, but this is the fun part, refusing to disclose what evidence or accusations would be presented. No, screw calling Dr. Freud. This is calling Mr. Kafka. Calling Mr. Camus, emergency, our world is turning into what you predicted. You know, I read this kind of stuff, and I'm afraid I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and I'm going to be a giant bug. Because all that stuff is coming true. All the angst-ridden, horror-ridden writings of Franz Kafka and the existentialist the miseries of Albert Camus, they're honest. Never mind George Orwell. You're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to be a big bug, just like Kafka said, because, you know, we're dragging people into court and trying them, but we won't tell them what they're charged with or what the evidence is. And I'm proud to live in America, where at least I know I'm free. An Associated Press attorney today strongly protested the decision. Ah, well, good, buddy. You protest in one hand and in the other and see which one fills up first. Calling the U.S. military plans a, quote, sham of due process. Duh! The journalist, whose name is Bilal Hussein, well, game over. We know why now, don't we? Bilal Hussein has already been imprisoned without charges for, wait for it, friends and neighbors, 19 months! A United States military public affairs officer notified the Associated Press on Sunday that the military intends to submit a written complaint against Hussein that would bring the case into the Iraqi justice system as early as November 29th. Under Iraqi codes, an investigative magistrate will decide whether there are grounds to try Hussein, 36, who was seized in the western Iraqi city of Ramadi on April 12th, 2006, and to this day has not been told why he was seized. Does that give you the shivers? Now, meanwhile, the United States goes to great lengths to tell the world that they will not, that we, you know, you, me, our country, the United States of America, will not permit homicidal maniacs from Blackwater who committed cold-blooded, in front of all kinds of witnesses, murder to be tried by the same Iraqi court system to which they want to turn Mr. Bilal Hussein over. What was their reason? Well, we can't guarantee that the Blackwater mercenaries would have a fair trial. What guarantee is there then that Bilal Hussein will have a fair trial? How the hell can you have a fair trial when you're not telling the guy what he's charged with, nor the evidence against him, or the witnesses who are going to speak? Is he going to be able to even cross-examine them? God only knows! your government, your military, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, your government, your military is doing that. Go figure. Ripping babies from breasts and trying men who should be deemed innocent until proven guilty without so much as charging them. We'll come back after the news. Trust me, it doesn't get any better. This is The Horn.
I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. I can't sleep cause my bed's on fire. Don't ask me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer.
This is the Quality News Network. A federal grand jury subpoenaed several security guards with Blackwater USA as part of a newly opened investigation into the shooting deaths of 17 Iraqi citizens in September. That's according to ABC News. The Justice Department has declined to comment, and a Blackwater spokeswoman said she could not confirm any probe. There are currently at least three other investigations into the incident by the FBI, the Iraqi government, and the U.S. military. Relief officials in Bangladesh warning that the current death toll could go much higher in the aftermath of the country's deadliest cyclone in more than a decade. More than 3,500 people are dead. Thousands more are missing. Martial law continues across Pakistan as President General Pervez Musharraf rejects Western demands to restore democratic rule before national elections early next year. Pakistan's new Supreme Court dismissed nearly all of the half-dozen challenges to Musharraf's re-election. All the new justices are hand-picked replacements for the former panel, all of whom were arrested earlier this month. 441 Palestinian prisoners released today as a goodwill gesture from Israel. Cabinet ministers approving that release ahead of a landmark U.S.-sponsored peace talks next week. Former Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick turned himself in to authorities to begin serving up to 18 months in prison. Vick pleaded guilty to federal charges of conspiracy back in August in connection with a dogfighting operation. He is also suspended indefinitely from the NFL. A group of expert criminologists say America needs to cut its prison population in half by using alternative punishment for nonviolent crime and decriminalizing soft drugs. The estimated cost savings to U.S. taxpayers could be around $20 million a year. The number of hate crimes across the U.S. rose nearly 8% last year. That's according to FBI statistics. More than 7,700 incidences in 2006 targeted victims or property as a result of bias against race, religion, sexual orientation, ethnic or national origin, or physical or mental disability. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at science and business news that's just ahead. But first, this message.
Behaving in a civil manner is the foundation of a civilized society. The Roman philosopher and emperor Marcus Aurelius said, "The happiness of your life depends on the quality of your thoughts. If you think in a civil tone, you will reflect civility to others. When we are civil, we aren't at war. We aren't fighting. When we are civil, there is no crime. When we are civil, we enrich the lives of all the people we meet. When we are civil, we are healthier and happier." The Russian author Leo Tolstoy wrote, Happiness does not depend on outward things, but on the way we see them. It is our choice to be civil rather than hostile or aloof. Sharing our inherent goodness contributes to the common weal in a way that benefits not only our society, but ourselves, deeply, importantly, and eternally. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Southern California officials say they're preparing for the worst, but hoping for the best. The same dry, hot weather and high winds are forecast that led to October's devastating wildfires. Firefighter crews and equipment will be on red alert through the Thanksgiving holiday. That's in Southern California. Even though rates rose about the same as they did last year, it still cost U.S. employers about $8,000 to provide each worker with health insurance. Businesses continue to drop such benefits for employees and their families. Business software maker BEA Systems reporting a 59% increase in earnings over this time last year, the Silicon Valley company fighting off acquisition by Oracle. Speaking before a Detroit auto show this weekend, three top investors in the U.S. industry forecast a 15-year plunge in auto sales for 2008. The housing slump, high energy prices, and America's uncertain economic outlook are being cited. The price of gasoline jumping 13 cents a gallon in the past 2 weeks. That's according to the Lundberg survey. Highest price at the pump found in San Francisco, lowest in Tucson, Arizona. Light sweet crude oil currently trading at $94.64 a barrel. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones taking a plunge 218 points to close at 12,958. NASDAQ down 44. S&P 500 down 25. More at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Here we go. And I tell you what, let's stay with the theme. We've got someone waiting on hold. Let's find out who it is. Hey, welcome to the program. Who have I got?
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Is your website shut down? Because I get nothing black when I sign on.
No, website's fine. Because there's loads of people in the chat room, and they wouldn't be there if it wasn't.
Huh?
Now, are you talking about headonradionetwork.com?
Well, I just go to White Rose Society, and it's just a black screen. You don't come up on there.
That's not my website. That's White Rose Society. Let me check. Ben could be doing some maintenance, yeah.
Okay.
But, no, the website for, Ben maintains all of our archives and podcasting there at whiterosesociety.org, and I would guess he's down for some maintenance.
Okay. I just wonder what's going on.
Okay, yeah. Anytime you want to listen to the show, the easiest way is to just go to headonradionetwork.com and click Listen Live, and bang, you're there.
Okay.
Because it all goes to the same place.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks, Jim. Bye-bye. Okay, let's see. So far we've got a nursing baby ripped from her mother's breast. We've got a man being tried for crimes he doesn't know whether he committed or not based on evidence that he's not going to be allowed to see. Well, let's just keep the fun rolling. Let's go to Washington State, where ordinarily I tend to think of people as being fairly liberal and forward-thinking, but this plays into some of what I was talking with Larry in the last hour, and that is that from state to state, you are largely merciless against your insurance commission. And this story also has to do a little bit with human nature. You know, when human beings organize themselves into groups, they inevitably, when those groups become comprised of more than just individual relatives, i.e., you know, clan structure, that's clan with a C, not a K, damn it. And it expands out, then, you know, some basic rules for getting along that seem to be self-evident and are so self-evident that they promulgate themselves
in just about every culture, which is what makes these idiots who want to put the Ten Commandments in, they seem to think that the that ancient culture was the only one that ever came up with the idea of do not murder, don't blaspheme the gods, don't steal, don't lust or covet your neighbor's wife. You know, that's a property law, by the way. Ladies, isn't that disgusting? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor covet thou his ass, nor his ox. You know, that thing, that's about wanting somebody else's property. I wonder if the fundamentalist women understand that that's a property law and not a human rights law. I don't know. But anyway, those basic rules promulgate themselves in just about every primitive culture. And they're very basic. They don't rely, but there's always somebody out there who's looking for a loophole, who wants to bend the rules. And so we don't, the law is always in a state of having to catch up with human conduct. And that's largely because there are always human beings out there who want to abuse the system for their own gain. Hence the fact that the state of Washington doesn't have a law to prevent this particular case. 11 residents. This is from a website called, let me check here. Act Against Eviction. You can go to act-against-eviction.blogspot.com. 11 residents of Victoria House in Port Townsend, Washington, are being evicted from their assisted living facility there on 90 days' notice. Wow. Sorry, this is kind of a tough Monday, isn't it? Let me know if I need to tell a joke or if the bum out's just getting too thick, or maybe we should talk about football or something. 11 residents of Victoria House in Port Townsend, Washington State, are being evicted from their assisted living facility on 90 days' notice. The Victoria House Management Company has decided to stop accepting Medicaid, and Washington State does not have a law that makes them have to stick with their agreements with the people who live there. Yeah, just let that one just sort of settle down into the reptilian part of your brain, because the people who came up with the idea of evicting these people are operating on the reptilian part of their brains. Last year, the same thing happened in Oregon. You know, liberal Oregon. Liberal Washington State. Now Oregon has a law, like one in Illinois, that prohibits management companies from changing policy in midstream and just throwing elderly Americans out on the damn street. By the way, some of the people that Washington State at Victoria House in Port Townsend, Washington, some of those people that they're throwing out on the street from the assisted living facility, they're in their 90s. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. The name of the business is Assisted Living Concepts. Their motto is, life just got easier. I guess, depending on how you define easier. If you define easier by being 90 and homeless, oh, it's a real party. Assisted Living Concepts is making for them. Wow. Now do you begin to see? Of course you do. Why do I ask these rhetorical questions that are so insulting? Why universal not-for-profit health care is so critical for this country? And by the way, according to McClatchy newspapers, a story published yesterday, children without health insurance don't learn as well as those who do. Now, both of them are going to school, if you recall Friday's program. Both of them are going to school and eating cooked hamburger that has been thrown from a pile into a pile that is marked E. coli cook only. Yeah, that's right. E. coli flavored beef going to our children. Yeah, they're all eating from the same pie. But growing numbers of uninsured children have made it harder for education to focus on classroom achievement without first addressing the medical needs of their students who lack health insurance or dental coverage. The report by Tony Pugh says instead of notifying parents when their children are ill, school officials increasingly must help find health care, arrange transportation for sick children, and often advise beleaguered parents about the health consequences of their inaction. If they don't do that, children wind up staying out of school for extended periods of time due to health-related absences. Let's see, the article cites New Prairie, Wisconsin, where school social workers got the local Lions Club to provide corrective eyewear for a nearsighted fifth grader whose parents had no insurance. Nancy Wells, a former school nurse in Dover, New Hampshire, once got her own dentist to perform a free root canal on an uninsured student with an infected abscessed tooth. West Palm Beach, Florida, high school principal Nathan Collins persuaded the local board to help fund a full-time school-based health clinic because so many of his uninsured students were missing school because they couldn't get medical care. My God. You know, I think I'm going to have to just change the name of this show to the My God Show. This is tragic stuff, and, you know, if we can step back from the tragedy for a moment, by God, it's embarrassing, isn't it? This is embarrassing. This is the United States of America. And this is happening. When I was growing up, I'd sit down. My parents were such that, you know, hey, you know, it's not all cartoons. This is interesting. You know, hey, let's watch. Look, there's a National Geographic special on tonight. Come on over here. And I'd watch stories about this coming from third world nations, about some little child who walks 15 miles down a mud rut lane to get to school, because not only at the school do they learn to read and write and do arithmetic, but they also get their hookworms taken care of. God, you can't beat a Republican administration for just outright dirty, down-in-the-gutter cruelty, can you? Because, after all, remember, this is the Repiglican party that says, which one was it who said if it was up to him, he would eliminate the Department of Education immediately? Hell, that's practically a platform plank in the Republican National Committee's platform. The gang that says government can't work and then sets about to every day prove it. Honest to God, did we have these problems? There's always going to be problems. Nothing's perfect. But did we have these problems in the Clinton years? Did we? I mean, we all know that education started down the long, slow slide into the swirling waters of the toilet the minute that Ronnie Reagan got into office. You know, the guy that Richard Nixon said he didn't think was too terribly bright. God, ain't it weird when you wind up having to agree with Richard Nixon? But yeah, they don't learn so well, sick kids. Of course, I understand that. It's hard to learn when you're burning up with fever. Welcome to America. Welcome to America. Let's go to the phones. Hey, who have I got?
You got David from Maine.
Hey, David, how you doing, buddy?
I was going to jump in there Friday and say something on that whole Leo Wanta thing, but I decided to hold off onto it because there were a lot of people talking.
Mm-hmm.
If that guy is listening, Nikoloff, first question I have is, where's the credibility, man? Where's the history on this guy? Show me one document or record. I can throw out random urban legends at light speed if I wanted to on the internet. And to me, when they tied it to the Clintons, I knew this was a whole ruse or a scam. And if he's listening, that's not the way to go to into a story like that. There's nothing there.
Yeah,
I just kept looking at it. I looked for a picture. I was like, well, who is this guy? Where is he tied to? It didn't make any sense.
No, well, you know, a story like that, you know, I think we could have had 6 hours and never been able to trace it all down.
Oh, but here's the interesting thing that if people weren't listening that night, just to give them a tap of what was happening on Head On during that.
No, you know, it was Front Porch Friday, and anything pretty much goes. If,
yeah. Previously, on Head On, there's your capture right
there. Last week.
So, yeah, that's what you get for someone who's a TV-ophile or whatever. But, yeah, when he was telling a story about this, I guess the head of a treasury or something, named Leo Wanta, and apparently United States was not in debt, because he had taken the money with him out of the country or something like that.
Well, it was something about him buying more rubles than Russia had actually issued or something like that. I did that.
But,
wow.
But here's the interesting thing, and here's the thing.
And I went and I tried to read up on this stuff over the weekend. I mean, I don't get much in the way of a weekend. I pretty much go 7 days a week, but I did try to devote some time to figuring some of this out. And it just around and around and around and around and around, you know?
But the one point where it goes and if... And hopefully some of these people are listening who put out these stories. It was on Newsmax, and in the article they said, that's why we have a debt. It was Bill Clinton's fault.
See, I found the Newsmax stuff, too.
Yeah, and when you read it...
And please, I mean, for those who aren't, you know, for those who don't have the program, and when it comes to Clinton hate, you really do have to have a program, let's remember what Newsmuck is.
Yeah.
Newsmuck grew out of the Arkansas Project.
Mm.
Newsmuck is a fully funded right-wing propaganda site maintained by Richard Mellon Scaife.
It all adds up now, doesn't it?
Well, it kind of does. But by the way, just because we are down the rabbit hole and left is right, up is down, it's black, white, night, day, you know, that kind of thing. Guess
yeah.
who Bill Clinton sat down to lunch with and is now bosom buddies with?
Really? Richard Mellon Scaife?
No duh.
That just kind of makes you go,
bleh.
Well, who can you trust?
Well, I mean, to say that they're bosom buddies, it's not like they're hanging out playing canasta together or anything, David, but... the man spent in excess of 10 years trying to absolutely destroy Bill Clinton.
I know.
And now he has sat down and, you know, hail fellow well met with him.
And I don't understand why people who are on networks who bring up these really vague just mythical stories and don't understand how it is that we can have a debt. Nobody stole the money from you, one person or one president. It was over time. There is no shadowy guy in the Bilderberger running with the sacks of money
or playing with naked playing with naked boys at the Bohemian Grove. I know.
Yeah. And to me, when I was, like I said, when I was listening to, you know, it just pointed out to a bigger issue that We don't live in a fact-based society anymore. You can take these... We live in a National Enquirer society, really. And you can say these things. Did you hear what happened? Did you hear?
Well, some people say, David.
Yeah, some people say that, too.
And, this goes back... I'm sorry, I'm stuttering Bob, the talk show host.
No.
This goes back to the whole thing that I keep going on about journalism being hard work. And most people who are getting a check for something called journalism don't want to do that hard work. It's frustrating. If you're working the phones, you call, they're not in. You call back, they're not in. You got to keep, well, would you have him call me back and yada, yada, yada. Or you go somewhere and you got it, and you set up a meeting and they're not there. Oh, it's frustrating as hell because most people in circumstances of seedy dealings don't want you writing a story about them. Therefore, by definition, it becomes hard work. And
I know it's
they
all,
don't
want to
do
about
it. They want to talk about whether Hillary prefers diamonds or pearls, and I'm going to get slapped if I mention that again, David. But our benchmark for low-life journalism used to be Paris Hilton. It used to be Lindsay Lohan. Now it's planted questions in phony debate audiences about diamonds or pearls. Every blessed time I think it couldn't get any sleazier, any nastier, any more vile, any more vapid, along comes something to go, oh no, Bob, we got more in the bag of tricks, buddy.
You know, when you're speaking about debate, it's funny how that works. It's funny how the word frames into your mind, into your psyche.
That ain't a debate.
Engineers, I know, it's not a debate. You're right.
I did debate.
We haven't had a debate in a long-ass time. I haven't seen one in my lifetime. How about that?
I've been in them. I did them in high school. You know, point and counterpoint and take the pro and the con and the, you know, and it gets... This ain't a debate.
I'm talking about in terms of our leaders. I haven't seen one ever.
No. Well,
you know?
Maybe Kennedy and Nixon, but no.
I saw the beginnings of one, like, in even... See, and this is what something people doesn't even realize, too. Like, sometimes when I watch, like, when I watch Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher, there would be the start of a debate. But then it would be like a magic referee would come in and say...
Well, they used to try... You know, that was the whole origin of the format for CNN's Crossfire, was that...
Oh, really?
It would be a debate program.
Yeah.
But the ratings quickly showed that what the American people wanted instead was to see people scream at each other. I mean, if you want to trace this stuff back, okay, you're a TV-aphile. You've obviously seen the old Saturday Night Live skits with Jane Curtin and Dan Aykroyd, where Jane, you ignorant slut. Well, that was a play off of the little mini debate that 60 Minutes had at the end of its program with James Kilpatrick and Shayna Alexander. Was that her name? And they would debate a topic for, you know, 2.5 minutes apiece, and, you know, and that's the way it is. And the thing grew out of that. You know, Meet the Press used to be a sort of a discussion program where you would have several members of the press,
mm-hmm,
and some guy on there, fielding their questions. I mean, I can remember it in the grainy black and white of a 22-inch TV screen.
I wonder if there's any way at all possible to have real debates where, in terms of like...
Who do you want debating, David?
Well, I would like to see someone really seriously debate Kucinich to show his strengths and to show how much of a leader he can be, but I know that's not going to happen.
Well, it will. It can eventually, maybe.
It can, yeah.
And the way that works out, and this is kind of like figuring out who's going to play for the national football championship in college, which I've been doing a lot of lately too, because I'm a geek and a Mountaineer fan. But if, as time goes by, people start bailing out of the Democratic race. Say, Bill Richardson says, I've run out of money, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Mike Gravel finally, you know, goes back to whatever planet it is Mike Gravel lives on. Or Biden or Dodd or, you know, any of those drop out. If Dennis Kucinich does what Dennis Kucinich did last time, and that was remain in the race all the way up to the convention, then at some point in time you might actually get to see him on a stage with a smaller cast of players.
You know, Bob, somehow we have to take that rule book and just burn it and be like, all right, we're going to have a real debate now, people, and the people have spoken and they want it.
No, but see, that's part of the con, David, and I don't mean to cut you off. I apologize. That's part of the con here, though, because and that's one of the things that I object to strenuously about the the dummied up question the other night. And it's not just the Diamonds and Pearls question. Every single question that came out of the audience the other night at that CNN so-called debate, at that CNN wrestling match, that CNN dog and pony show, every single one of those questions was pre-screened by CNN producers.
Mm.
All right? And therefore, like I said, it's not Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland saying, hey, let's put on a debate in my uncle's barn. Every one of these campaign organizations is intimately involved in setting these things up. You can speak for X, so-and-so number, do I get a chance to respond? Yes, you get a chance to respond. No, you don't get a chance to respond. What about the questions from the audience? Well, we'll pre-screen them. Okay. So
it's really bad when, everyone is laughing at something so vapid and boring as such as like Joe Biden, his answers. It's like, you're not funny. What? And you had people.
But in that atmosphere, laugh. He comes off as the funny one.
Yeah, and it's funny how, well, no pun intended. It's funny how.
You know, at this point in this Democratic field, Joe Biden is Ringo. Okay, Biden is the funny beetle.
Joe Biden is the funny beetle. Yeah, Dennis Kucinich must be George Harrison. Which one's John Lennon? I don't doubt Edwards.
No, we've got a whole bunch of Paul McCartneys.
We've run out of Beatles, but they've broken up.
Yeah, this is the Ruddles, okay?
Ruddles, okay.
All you need is cash.
Yeah, and one other thing I wanted to mention before going was about head on your funds. I have an idea. Maybe it's stupid. Maybe it's not. But I think in terms of donating and then doing donations, could we possibly? What about this? What if we were to, if we had certain items that we were to auction off, maybe we could get donations in our area of certain items, and we were able to auction off items and take the proceeds of that and put that to head on.
Well, that's a lovely idea. I don't know if it's all a question of what people would support. We're having a hard enough time just getting folks to, make the donation.
Yeah, I understand that.
Getting folks to fight over a Vegematic for the sake of the horn.
No, that's not talking about in terms like
what
that.
We have here is a genuine antique Popeil's pocket fisherman.
Well, I would think in terms of like, for example, myself, I'm going pretty strong on the whole the whole eBay thing right now. And I've been selling things left and right. And I was thinking if there was a particular item that...
Well, I mean, that model is used. I mean, I was looking just today over, I go to BuzzFlash every day. There's a small handful of sites I go to. I go to BartCop, I go to BuzzFlash, I go to WD40.com. I go to Truthout, I go to Alternet.
Right.
But so I was over at BuzzFlash today, and their main headline is, if democracy matters to you, please read and purchase holiday gifts for liberals here instead of some big company that's part of the problem, not the solution. We need $5,000 in donations and purchases per day through January 1st to pay the staff expenses, healthcare benefits, and to expand our network and coverage. We accept no advertising. How much is that independence worth to you? Click here to learn why. So they're
$5,000 a day?
Yeah. $150,000 by December 31st. But that's not what I'm talking about here. So what they do is, they if you give them X dollars, they will send you a copy of this book or that video or, maybe the new Radiohead or, something.
Yeah.
And so, they're asking folks to, and they don't call it, they're not selling it, they call that a premium. So that kind of works along the same lines as kind of what you're talking about, although you're working the eBay mindset with a sort of sales to the highest bidder.
Right. Well, what I would want to do is, like, I would want to brand it, like, every single item that you put up there. It would be for all proceeds go to Head On Radio or something. And if we could get somebody, I don't know how this works. I know a lot of people, they understand the model, and they understand how to do the auctions and the fundraising a little bit better than most of us, but I think in terms of, like, just taking your money and donating it, see, that's where my mindset is. What can you do with the money that you're going to donate it with?
Well, first of all, we say contribute. We don't say donate anymore.
Oh, okay, contribute.
Because if it was a donation, it would mean we weren't doing anything, that we were just, you know, begging for charity.
Oh, okay. Well, then contribution.
Yeah. Do we need to add some swag? Absolutely. We need coffee mugs and some of that stuff I can do over at Cafe Press, and we probably should do that, and that's in the offing. I'll be honest, David, and this is this is Bob's excuse department. I'm fresh out of hours in the day to do this stuff with.
Yeah, I understand. That's why I was at the point of what I was mentioning about in terms of I noticed when a lot of people are doing fundraising and stuff, and they auction off items and stuff like that. Now they might be a little bit more known and a bit more of a visible, but there are a lot of people who do these auctions for specific causes, and
right,
they do well with them. So
it's not a bad idea. It's just we got to come up
working out the
we got to come up with something to auction.
Yeah.
And then secondarily, we have to make sure that it's worthwhile enough for people to want it.
And then maybe you could, like, give in a plug-in for the store or something. I don't know. There has to be a way where you can take, like, when people decide to do contribution auctions and
yeah,
proceeds and all of those for charity and all of those things. It seems to me that...
No, see, that's part of the problem. We're not set up as a charitable organization, so...
Yeah.
Because our initial goal was to make a commercial go of this, and that's still our goal. You know, going on the contribution model is something that is designed to keep us going until we go out there, or we're able to get out there and find the right guy, right woman, right group, and say, you know, look, this thing can make you money if you'll get behind it.
Right. I was just using that as an example for something. To me, that's the only way I can look at it in terms of, like, the catch-up, because I know how much you guys put into it, and I know how much is currently owed and all. That was one of my ideas. I mean, there are other ideas that you can do with stuff like that, and maybe it'll lead to something else. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, you know, and that's all we can do, is throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
Because, I know what has to happen. I'm intimately familiar with what has to happen every month to keep this going. And I said I wasn't going to talk about fundraising anymore, but you made me. So, I'm not breaking my word.
All right.
But there's stuff beyond the day-to-day operation of the program. I mean, John Fox and I, for instance. It was... I guess 4 o'clock in the afternoon his time. It was midnight my time last night, and we were in here doing studio engineering stuff.
Mm.
That was Sunday night, David. At least for me, it was his Monday afternoon. But there are not a lot of extra seconds on the clock anymore.
It does seem to be like this. Snowball when you roll it down the hill.
Well, part of the snowball, David, though, is a good part, because it means, you know, we're putting out programming, and we're getting and people like the programming, people want the programming, people are listening to the programming, so that means we have to be here to run it.
Right.
That's a clear sign of success. On the other hand, this list here to pay the staff expenses, health care benefits, and expand our network and coverage.
Mm.
We're not doing any of that. We're not paying staff. We're paying expenses, and we're extremely frugal about that. You know, the computer that Peter and I have been building and are getting ready to move into the primary on-air slot as soon as it's all loaded up and ready to go. Those are our expenses. Our expenses are our bandwidth. Our expenses are our toll calls. Our expenses are, you know, electricity and heat and all of that stuff, equipment stuff. Healthcare benefits? Pay the staff?
Yeah.
Because if I'd... Look, I sat down and I figured this all out, David, and maybe that was my mistake. Maybe it was my mistake because I didn't come out and say, you know, look, we need $10,000 a month. Because if I had said that, maybe that's what we'd be working toward, and, you know, because $10,000 a month is what I figured out it would take if I was to pay some sort of small stipend to everybody who's associated with the network. And I mean small. Instead, I said $2,000 a month, and that's what it takes, bare minimum, to keep us on the air. You know, no lobster dinners are worked into that.
Yeah, well, I do think that when, if possible, in the chat rooms and on the conversations, we need to have, like, steady discussion on fundraising, just like what I did at Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
And it's okay if no one's...
And frankly, you know, this is all pretty much homegrown. If you guys want to have that discussion, I welcome you to have it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we'll take a good idea from anywhere we can find one.
Well, like I said, it leads to something else. So this might not be the idea, but it might lead to something else.
Yeah. I joked, I guess it was Friday night. That at some point, and I'll go ahead and give myself away if I can ever find time to do this, at some point, one evening, we're going to do a show here, you know, me and that mouse in my pocket.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a show here, and I'm going to set it up, and I'm going to format it just like a terrestrial radio talk radio program.
Mm.
And every break, we'll have commercials for Buy Platinum and, you know, vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls, you know. You would be surprised the number of bowling balls I have all over my house, but I got the bowling ball vacuum cleaner, and all them bowling balls are gone now. Call 1-800, pick up my bowling ball. All those stupid patent remedies. And what we'll do is we'll do like an hour or two, maybe we'll do a whole show with it set up exactly like a terrestrial radio program, so that if you find out exactly what the difference is between what we do and commercialized over-the-air terrestrial buggy whip radio.
One of my favorite commercials on the radio is where this guy's listening in his truck to Sean Hannity. He's like, "You tell him, Sean." Thank you. And then he says, "We don't have it. We need, and then all of this spending needs to be cut." And he'd be like, "Thanks to the Democrats." I don't know if you've heard that commercial. That's one of the best. I mean, just to make it look like he connects with the working people. It's so sad.
Yeah,
God.
Yeah, because, you know, he's part of $20 million a year. He's part of the working class.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
But anyways, Bob, I just wanted to throw that out there. You know, if someone can add to it or contribute to it.
Well, cool, David. I appreciate it. I truly do.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you later, man.
All right. Have a good evening, guy.
You too.
Bye now.
Later.
I don't think I broke my vow. I didn't start that conversation. And some of this is just how it works. And, I assume, as I've said before... I assume people have some of the same fascinations I do. I always kind of wondered how it worked until I got in the system and found out how it worked, and most people won't tell you. I try to pull back the curtain because we're not operating on that terrestrial model. I don't know if there's somebody on this phone line or not because it seemed kind of odd. Well, hey, who have I got?
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Luke.
Oh, what's going on in the world? Anything good?
Meanness and misery.
Well, I saw the thing this evening that apparently Bob Novak said the sun came up in the west and Obama turned. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but you're sitting there going, you're following a lead from Bob Novak.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's one of them things. I'm sorry, you don't have people around you saying, don't do this? Yeah.
I know, but Bob Novak, you know, Go out another CIA agent, Bob, or, you know, drink some blood, do something, get some color in your cheeks, buddy.
I figure it's sort of like young Frankenstein. Every time you mention Bob Novak's name, we should hear horses in the background.
Hooker. Yeah.
Now, a couple things. Okay. First of all, I found out about this story this weekend that apparently it's the reverse of what everybody was telling, this thing, this story about Newsweek. Everybody was trying to pass this story along that they hired Karl Rove to balance hiring Marcos Melitas. It turns out it was the other way around.
Yeah, Marcos was brought in to balance against Karl Rove.
Yeah, they'd already decided to bring Karl Rove in. And, of course, they couldn't go out and find, I mean, maybe get a Carvel or somebody. They go get a blogger. I'm sitting there going, okay.
Well, bless his serpentine little head, Carville would begin everything with, you know, Carl, you ignorant slut.
I could enjoy that. Well, did you also notice this weekend on Press the Meat, they had about a 40-minute discussion of the campaigns as they are right now? But amazingly enough, when they got to Rudy, the name Judith Regan wasn't mentioned.
Oh, no, we can't do that. That's just salacious gossip. And, Don Vito Corleone was just an olive oil salesman.
Well, let's see what else is good. I've been writing down some things. Oh, did you hear the story I absolutely love that's flying under the radar that you're not hearing it mentioned? The Conigard brothers. The one who's the IG was the IG in Iraq, and his dear brother sitting on the Blackwater board.
Yeah. It took me for a minute.
Sorry, the name was a little bit obscure. But you know what I mean? Here we find out that, oh, by the way, the guy who is investigating waste and abuse in Iraq, oh, by the way, his brother sits on the board of Blackwater.
Yeah, and sat there and
he says he didn't know.
Yeah, and as long as you say, well, you know, I was confused. My brother told all of that just completely defeats, you know, perjury.
But, you know, unless you really were listening on that story, no one's talking about. You know what I mean? That's one of the ones that people should be standing up going, what's this? You know, why are we having an inspector general whose brother has, any member of his family has anything to do with Blackwater? Oh, and the other one, the best story of the weekend. Did you see this story about, he's an ex New York congressman who apparently is wanting to run this next cycle, who was caught apparently driving drunk. And the strange little thing was the 24-year-old sitting on his lap at the time. This fellow named John Sweeney.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I did see that. Right.
That at first they didn't realize there were two people in the car when the cops stopped it.
Yeah, it was just a two-headed hermaphrodite, I guess.
And apparently the papers up in Albany will not tell anybody who she is. They know who it is, but say they will not tell it.
It's not the ambassador to Switzerland, is it?
No. We haven't heard from the Swiss Miss lately.
That's obscure, but it was still funny.
You and me, it is. We know what it means.
just for catch up. That's the woman. Oh. That's the woman who was secretively along with Dick Cheney when he shot his buddy in the face.
So they snuck out before anybody had a chance to talk to her.
Yeah.
File an affidavit, but of course she did that from Switzerland, so.
Yeah, well, away from the long arm of the law.
Out of the camera lights. But, it's just one of these things, you know, it's like, but to start off with, you know, this whole thing with Obama, it's like, I'm sorry, Obama, but you're sitting here telling us you want to lead, and you're getting led. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's what it is. It's like, say, when somebody pumps out this kind of story, you jump.
Right, that's reaction that's reaction gotcha politics.
I mean, and the thing is, it ain't.
And it's also the old style LBJ stuff with you. I know, I just want to hear him deny it.
Yes,
it's running in both directions because I noticed Bart Kopp had the picture of Senator Clinton's personal assistant and said that, you know, the rumors are swirling about her, and so naturally now Novak comes out and says there's rumors swirling about Obama. And both of those people, you know, hot, you know, you know, a hot lesbian romance for Senator Clinton and black guy, white girl for Senator Obama. The two, you know, the two things that are guaranteed just to make the knuckle walking, mouth breathing America go. Ah.
And then we turn around and we see Rudy at a NASCAR event.
Oh, why can't the tires fly off when I need them to?
It's one of those things, you know. It's the point. Why can't somebody jump the track right then? Come on. You saw the thing they were talking about this evening.
Hey, Rudy, you want a beer? Well, I will. I will have a glass of Cristal.
Yeah, but they had the thing this afternoon where they were talking that Mr. Keene, the Republican head of the 9/11 Commission,
yeah, former governor of New Jersey,
mm-hmm, he's coming out and endorsing McCain.
Well, that ought to be interesting.
Rudy is sitting there wearing his. As I always say, Rudy reminds me of a herbal, you know, an Herbalife salesman. He's wearing the badge.
Ask me about 9/11.
Seven. Mm-hmm.
Great minds think alike, Luke. I tell you what, you know, yeah.
But, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, that's what it is. It's like an Herbalife says, ask me about 9/11. Come on. I want to tell you about it. And it's like, you know, the thing I'm waiting on, it's like they said, they were starting on one or two of the news shows this weekend. Well, some of this stuff now is going to mean we're going to have to look at Rudy's New York records. It's like, hey. I mean, you've got almost every union in, and I'm not just saying this because it's union, but you've got the firefighters, the policemen, the whole group up in New York. Every one of them are essentially saying, don't do it. We've learned, don't do it. Said, whatever Rudy tells you, don't trust it.
No. I mean, pretty soon he's gonna be the amalgamated mobsters will even come out and.
Well, apparently, you know, to this day they still will not admit. That apparently, Rudy still will not divulge who Giuliani Partners represents, who his customers are.
Well, we know one of them was Hugo Chavez.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other problem. Oh, one thing.
But
about
the talking
that,
point is that, you know, Rudy's a busy man. He doesn't oversee all of this. He's not a hands-on guy. And, you know, he can't be expected to know every felon that works for him.
Well, what was the thing? They said that Rudy was at the meeting when he was when they've shown the minutes of the meeting where Rudy was told that Carrick was involved with these groups that were connected to the Fedora group. And apparently Rudy still says, I don't remember anything about that meeting. But I think Rudy has memory problems. We should really investigate this.
Well, no, that just molds him as being more Reagan-esque, Luke.
Oh, no. Well, as I say, most people are not realizing, like I say, the thing we should start running against Rudy is, vote for Rudy, you know, 4 more years of Bush. But that's what it is. I mean, if you look, I mean, all of his former policy advisors are the Bush advisors.
Well, absolutely. And
we've got Badaritz. I mean,
I went to
World War VI.
I'm trying to think. It was Grist and Living on Earth that sponsored the Enviro debate in L.A. this past weekend, Saturday, I guess it was. And Dennis Kucinich, John Edwards, and Hillary Clinton were the only ones that showed up. Everyone was invited. And so Grist put up these little thumbnail sketches of who says what on the environment, and their comment on Rudy was, who knows? His only reference to the environment would appear to be references to 9/11. So,
yeah, it's like, yeah, that cloud, don't worry, it's moving on. We can see it moving on in the wind.
Yeah. Well, we got to roll out of here, Luke. It's that time.
All right, see ya.
Hey, best of luck with...
Oh, yeah, you're all getting close now. You're up to third.
Well, or fourth, depending on which poll.
Well, depending on how the Kansas-Missouri game goes, you could be in the game.
I want LSU to lose to Arkansas or lose in the championship game of the SEC or something. They just...
Well, it's looking better and better for us because all the pundits are saying we can't win against Kentucky.
Oh, I
every time they say we can't, that's when we do.
So yeah, you could wind up playing against LSU in the SEC championship.
Well, the fun part about that is now all this stuff with him with the Michigan job.
Yeah.
You know, like I say, until somebody takes that job, that's all he's going to be asked.
Sure, and that's really distracting, and
it is.
We had to put up with it last year, and it's really infuriating.
Well, it's one of those things. It's like, Les, if you're going to take the job, say it right now. Get it out of the way. So, you know.
Yeah, but that national championship ring earns him another an extra million and a half on the contract with blue.
Yeah, but the thing is, from what everybody's telling me that I've read and listened to, is that's really a job he wants.
Well, he's an alum.
Yeah, so I mean, he's an alum, and he's it's one of them jobs where if he goes up there and takes that, he'll be there for a decade at least.
If you know, if he beats Ohio State at least you know twice in 10 years.
Well, you wonder if they're just gonna if he may just decide to go ahead with LSU, let them hire somebody come in for 1 or 2 years, the numbers drop way down. Then they're waiting for the second coming of him.
Yeah, and that's the well.
Because you don't want to come right in after a legend.
You don't want to come in after a legend, and the open question there, Luke, is whether Lloyd Carr qualifies as a legend.
I know, but you know what I mean. He's as close as they've got.
Yeah, true. Technically, he's
the. But somebody else wants to get on the air. I know.
All right, we'll see you, Luke. Take care. Bye now. Yeah, I'm a Vols fan this weekend, and if they make it to the SEC championship, I may have to go out and buy a jersey. Sorry, LSU fans. I apologize, but it just is what it is. And I won't say anything about Kansas or, let's see, who else? Mizzou. But I will say that I took great delight in watching the Texas Tech OU game. But, oh, well, I pissed off the Oklahoma listeners now. Yeah, I shouldn't talk about this stuff. Hey, listen, everybody, thanks for joining us. You know, me and that mouse in my pocket. Thanks for chiming in, your phone calls, your emails. Thanks for just sitting there and screaming at the subwoofer if that's what you had to do. Thanks for joining in the chat room. We have wonderful moderators there. Our news ninjas are the best in the biz. We have, you know, I asked John Fox last night, I said, why aren't you making $150,000 somewhere? John, you don't know what a genius John Fox is. You don't know what a genius Peter Godbold is. You don't know what a sharp lawyer Mark Levine is. You get a sense of it, but you can't really, really get your mind around it until you've watched these people in action. And that's what makes this this whole undertaking so just doggone fascinating. Exciting. What makes me feel like such a privileged individual. Ben Birch? My God. What doesn't Ben Birch know? WhiteRoseSociety.org. Ben makes all the streaming happen. And always, always, always. RMR, Gina, it's all for you. We'll be right back.
This is the Quality News Network. Northern Iraq's top U.S. commander says despite a current drop in violence across the country as a whole, al-Qaeda has shifted their focus to several key cities in the now more violent north. Army Major General Mark Hertling says militants have pushed north and east and have grown increasingly proficient in carrying out roadside bomb attacks. A series of sectarian weekend bombings killed 17 Iraqis, wounding 48. One attack in Baghdad targeted a newspaper editor and finance ministry official. In addition, a suicide attack in Bakuba in the volatile Diyala province killed 3 U.S. soldiers and 4 Iraqi children yesterday as the troops handed out holiday gifts to a crowd of Iraqi youngsters. A federal grand jury subpoenaed several security guards with Blackwater USA as part of a newly opened investigation into the shooting deaths of 17 Iraqi citizens in September. That's according to ABC News. The Justice Department has declined to comment, and a Blackwater spokeswoman said she could not confirm any probe. The current death toll in Bangladesh could go much higher in the aftermath of the country's deadliest cyclone in more than a decade. More than 3,500 people are dead. Thousands more are missing. Teams from international aid organizations are coordinating with military troops to deliver food, water, and clothing to villagers whose homes are now flattened rubble. The White House Chief Advisor on Homeland Security and Terrorism has resigned. Fran Townsend serving in the position for more than 4 years. Martial law continues across Pakistan as President General Pervez Musharraf rejects Western demands to restore democratic rule before